Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Everybody, Rob here, getting you set up for our interview with Tiffany Seeley, and it's a good one. I think you're going to enjoy this episode of the podcast. I had been messaging with Tiffany about coming on to do an interview. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis from the Why Blank Lost podcast had also been messaging with Tiffany. I said, hey, why don't you all just hop on and let's all get on one call to talk with Tiffany. So you'll hear myself, Tiffany, with David and Jessica here on this episode of the podcast, which was recorded a little while back. We were just waiting to get approval before we got this one up. So this was actually the first interview that I recorded. So if you hear me asking any questions that may have been answered in other deep dives, which have come later, that is the reason for that. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Tiffany Seeley here on Rob is a Podcast. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with you with a very special podcast, a supersized look back at the game of one of our favorites this season from Survivor 41. We are so lucky to have Tiffany Seeley here with us. Tiffany, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
I am so excited to have you here. I think this is going to be a lot of fun to catch up with you and talk about your game in Survivor 41. We have also here with us the co-hosts of the Why Blank Locks podcast. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis are here, also in the Tiffany Mutual Admiration Society. David and Jessica, welcome.
Thank you so much. This is so exciting.
Yes. Hi, I feel like we're in an alliance.
Yeah. Oh, I love this already. This is so good.
Sorry, I don't know. People named David in alliances with you don't do so hot.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, David.
Don't worry, Tiffany, I got you.
We're good. It's a girls alliance already. You see how that works?
Uh-oh.
I know, it's perfect.
You did that rather quickly.
That's it. Just like that. You got to move quick on this game, right?
That's right.
It's a new era of Survivor.
Drop the four, keep the one.
Yes. Yeah.
We did it.
I did.
All right.
Okay. Tiffany, tell us the update of how is everything going for you since the end of the season?
Things are going really well. I think that the nicest part of being where we are in the season being over is that I think everybody's cooled down. Cast is pretty copacetic. Everyone's pretty happy, loving family right now. And it took quite some time. You know, we're a lot of months out and everyone was super raw for quite some time. And I think it takes to get to the end so that everybody can just chill out and actually really feel back to normal because you're so in it that you don't have like a second to be a normal human being until it's completely over. So I feel like we're all back to kind of being normal people. But yet the looming, you know, questions of the podcasts are coming up and who's going to say what and will it bring back feelings, right? So there's always going to be that. But for now, we're all great.
For now.
Tiffany, correct me if I'm wrong, but you did keep an ear on the podcasts during the season, correct?
Yes, I kept an ear.
So how did David and Jessica do in their assessments of the season? Were they on point?
Well, Jessica was more on point for some of the vote outs.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. They gave me some redemption along the way with some of the things that were taken away from me and given to other people. So all of you did that. So thank you. That felt so good because as a player, you're cuckoo afterwards. Like you're like, that was my line. And I was ready to like murder somebody over a line. And then I was like, what's wrong with me? I'm 48 years old. Like, I need to really get myself in check. Like, I'm just going to kill everybody. I was so mad. And I think I must have written to Jess, like, I cannot believe that they didn't have my life. And then I realized, like, what's wrong with me? I'm a 48-year-old woman of two children. Like, get
it's
it together.
A fair girlfriend response. It was completely fair.
It wasn't fair. It was bad.
But in the moment when you're watching the show unfold and it's not the story that you experienced when you're out on the island, it can have a really hard like response and visceral in your, like, you're just like, what just happened? That's not what happened. And that's what the world sees. And yeah, so you want that credit for everything that you did. So I understand.
I don't know. I saw on TV that Xander was the one who came up with Mergatory. So I
very cute, David. That's very cute. Yes, you know. He did. Mergatory. And all the other words that they're going to use in the future of Survivor, drop the whatever, keep the whatever. But Mergatory will stick. And it will be forever Xander's word. And since I love him, he can have it, even though I did come up with it. But I'm going to give it to him because he deserves it. Right? We'll give it to him. Bottom line.
It was great. I put it out on my Twitter like immediately, but I thought he said it, not you.
It was all really great until like the next morning when it's like Mergatory across like one of the articles. And I was like, that was like the cherry on top. I was like, Mergatory. It like completely took, I was like, he just got a headline. That's my word. And the reason I got so crazy was because I am known at work with my friends. I do that stuff all the time. So like that, I actually made up that word. And I said during saying it on the island, I was like, make a note. Tiffany Seely said that word. Right. And it was as if they said, make a note, give it to somebody else, not Tiffany.
Mm-hmm. They wrote it in their little books.
Yeah, not Tiffany.
Tiffany, but this is your chance now. Tell us then all of the things, all of the words that you made up this season, and now we can have them on the record. What else? Yes. What else besides Mergatory?
Mergatory was mine.
Yes.
I will take full responsibility for the word machete, which never made it on.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes. Why do we have a machete? It doesn't cut anything. And why does everybody else cutting bamboo? And we have 19-foot bamboo sticks across an entire camp. Okay. And I must have said machete 15 times, and I cannot believe it didn't make it. How did that not make it on air? It's great.
I have some ideas. Yeah. But
yeah. There's
some. Come on, man. That's such a, they could have been like bleeped it out and then like written it underneath. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was great. It was one of my better ones. I hope
there's more.
Yeah. Put it on Paramount Plus. Sure.
Put that on Paramount Plus. I'm going to take some responsibility for some of the words that were, for the song that we made up at Ponderosa.
Okay.
I helped a lot with the rhyming of those
that
words.
Was beautifully.
The sea shanty.
Like, executed. Well done. Mm-hmm. Loved it.
Thank you.
And you were a good drummer. You were a very good drummer.
I'm a really good drummer, and my singing abilities are like never, nothing you've ever heard in your life. Almost like a dying animal in pain. And that made it to the air. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
Along with me like picking at my feet. I don't know what I was doing at some point. I was like, why do they have to make me look like it's so bad? Like, what am I doing even? Why? Let me see what else I could take credit for. I made the fire. So they didn't think it was important to put that in. That was annoying because hello, I made the fire for my tribe.
Yeah. That's a huge deal. Yeah.
Abraham breaks the flint and I love the guy and I make the fire and you don't even see it. It's on like an extra scene and everyone's like, Tiffany's the worst player ever. Meanwhile, I'm like, nobody made the fire. It took them 2 days. They gave it to me and it was like fire. I gave you life.
How did you make the fire?
You just made the fire.
After Abraham broke the flint.
I rubbed my thighs together really, really. Was that inappropriate? See? I couldn't help it. Mm-hmm. I might have said that on the island too. Yes. I made it. Well, we had a bum flint. So we had a machete, a bum flint. We had to earn back our flint. We got it back with a little negotiation. And I just struck it and it went on fire. And then everyone was like nursing it. Like it was something. And there I am. I'm like, yes, I'm cheering. Everyone's like already gone. And I'm like, oh, I'll just cheer myself on. Good job. Well done.
Now we're cheering you on.
Yeah, always, you. Always.
Now, I should have brought a tissue with me. Had I known it would be so funny listening to you. Oh my word.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. There's a lot.
Now, Tiffany, you were the mayor of Ponderosa this season, and you were, I guess, the foreperson of this jury that voted overwhelmingly for Erica. We haven't had the chance to talk to anybody really from the jury. about this decision. Was it like an open and shut case, or was there a lot of discussion about maybe going in a different direction?
I'm going to tell you something that's really odd, because many people are saying that this doesn't happen. We were not allowed to discuss who we were voting for at Ponderosa.
This is crazy. Mm-hmm.
We were not allowed to discuss who we were voting for at Ponderosa. And I'm sorry, I just have to make sure that this is not the COVID pickup. And so we were not allowed to do that. So
if you explain the COVID pickup.
The COVID pickup. I have a girlfriend stopping by. I have at-home COVID tests. She's stopping by to get one. Sorry, okay. That was a test.
Okay. No,
we were not allowed to discuss who we were voting for, and we were shut down. We never really had the conversation. And I said to Evie before we left, the only thing I did discuss was saying to Evie, listen, I think if I know Xander, he's going to take Erica with him. She's like, never. I'm like, that's what he's going to do. She's like, never. I'm like, prepare yourself.
Oh my word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what he did.
And so he did. In my head, I was already prepared. If he took Erica over Heather, I sort of kind of knew already, like, that would just kind of be the nail in the coffin for me, mm-hmm. as far as moves. And being just aware of what was really going on with the jury, I think, you know, as great as of a player as he is, and he did end up in final three, and there was so much discussion around Xander and should he have won or not won. Listen, he did better than me. He was at the end, right? Along with, you know, Heather and Deshaun and Erica and not myself, but anyway, and Ricard, of course. But I think that once we sat down and we had that discussion and we saw what happened with the fire, and it was close, you know, mm-hmm. Heather almost took that. It was just like wind, really. And at one point I was like, is there something on her rope? Like, that thing was raging, and the rope mm-hmm. was not, we were like at the edge of our seats. You know, and really, for an outcome that should have been in the first place anyway, she should have been sitting there. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like if Xander maybe would have went to fire with Deshaun himself, that would have been a nice notch in the what did he do kind of belt. But at the same time, I don't know that I would have done that. You know, you're sitting there, you're like, oh, I'm not going to do too much here. I'm just going to sit here. I don't want to lose my spot, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And does that overwhelm everything else that Erica did that Xander didn't throughout the game?
So, you know, Erica played a very good post-merge game. I just think that the edit was highly skewed towards, you know, Xander in general.
He got your mergatory.
Right. Well, and that. He took my mergatory. Yeah. But I'm giving it to him. I have.
You're letting it go.
I'm letting it go. He can have it. In fact, I want him to have it. In fact, it's his. I get Machete, which will never air, but he can have mergatory.
It aired here.
We should explain that the Machete is the machete that didn't cut. We got that.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, that's the
machete. I want to make sure.
Yeah.
It's the machete.
Yeah.
It's a machete. But so, you know, he got a really, he was a constant in the edit. And I think because Erica didn't really go anywhere pre-merge. They didn't have any tribals. I think no matter what, if you're not going to tribal, you're not being featured. So it's really one of these strange things that, like, you're not a main character if you're not going to tribal. Mm-hmm. So, but she was winning puzzles for them. Like, she was killing the puzzles and the challenges. She really was playing an under the radar game. She had her number constantly and didn't have to do too much until she had to smash the hourglass, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, she did stuff because she kept herself safe. Like, her name was not really being thrown out, except for with Deshaun here and there. And that was like a weird edit too. Like, they threw it in probably because they knew it was going to happen. But at the same time, you know, she was not the focus there once we got to post-merge. I mean, you would think, like, she smashes the thing and it's like, Luvu could hate her for that because they were so heavy Luvu. Yet it didn't work out like that. They just kind of like, oh, I would have done it too. And on your merry way. She was like, it's over now. It's all about Tiffany, Xander, and Evie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, she played a great, she played great at the merge. I mean, she did a lot. She stayed under the radar. She was on the right side of the numbers. Every vote she did correct. Xander was not voting the right people out when it was time to vote. So weighing all of that and, you know, seeing the game that he played, I think there was just a little bit of the awareness factor. You know, he's young. He was, you know, strong. He carried himself well, very smart. And at the end of the day, I think he just didn't, maybe the experience of people isn't as good as somebody who's a little bit older and right. knows that awareness a little better. Does that make sense?
Do you give any consideration to Deshaun?
So no.
Okay.
No, I didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Deshaun was very difficult in the game. He was, he self-admittedly says it, you know, not tantrums, but kind of this like bullyish, babyish, like, no, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing this, which really ultimately got me voted out. Mm-hmm. At the end.
Yeah.
Really down to that last second, it was not going to be me at that point, even though it was supposed to be split between myself and Nasir. No, myself and Xander originally. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it just all went to shit. Sorry. And after that, it was like Deshaun's call at the end, which is why when I went on my exit interview, I said, really, he like gave his power away to Shan, but it was Shan still managing her friendships and her relationships, mm-hmm. right? By saying, okay. So no, I feel like Deshaun just, he got to the end. Okay. But by the tactics and the way he played, it just didn't gel with me at the time. And I felt very, I don't know. And not bitter, just I didn't see it. I didn't see what he did. To me, I saw more of what Erica did with the challenges, winning immunity, winning, being on the right side of the numbers. With Deshaun, it was always a like head to head with everybody. So social relationships were a little lacking.
Do you think because you spent so much more time with Xander, you were a little more particular about his gameplay, like because you had seen more of it than you had Erica?
No, I think that Xander, and I think he might agree with this, if he had showed a little bit more loyalty to his core group of people that he spent 12 days with, mm-hmm. I think that would have shown awareness of like what you need to do in a game like this. Mm-hmm. You can't get to the end and win really solo like that with no immunity necklace, with no, and holding idols and holding things. I feel like that's a really tough way to win. I'm sure like some people have done it here and there, Sandra maybe, but like Xander, I don't know. I felt like in this new era, like stick with somebody, show loyalty somewhere, show you're willing to make a really big risk and then play the game. I was just waiting for people to like play the game. And I felt like everyone was kind of a sitting duck and just waiting to be like voted out. And I'm like, vote me out. Near me. There's me. Remember me? Balance beam. Vote me out. I suck. Like, I was playing. I was like, all right, you know, anybody can come with me. I was this literal number. And it was just nobody believed that we were split. And we were just such a target.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiffany, I'd love to go back to the beginning of this process and like going out to season 41. Now, were you originally cast for season 41 in March of 2020 or were you added in between that version of season 41 and then the one that shot in 2021?
So pre-pandemic, I was at finals and with Voce and Erica. In fact, Erica and I were on treadmills next to each other. And she said that I was like super intense, shocker. But I remember being there. I was like, I'm going to show these people. I'm like running. I'm like lifting weights. I don't even lift weights. I was like, I got this, you know, totally bad form, but whatever. I was trying to be like a little scary because you know how to talk to them. But I wasn't that scary. I was just intense. But it was me, Voce, and Erica, the only ones that I remember from my final. And I got a call and everything went really well. I made it all the way through finals. I got the call. 41 or 42, which one? Like, it was up to me to choose.
You got really? To pick?
What?
Yeah, they were like, can you do 41 or 42? I said, I'll do either or. So I was like a swing, either whichever one they needed me for, I would have done either or.
It is a new era.
Yeah. It really is. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Wait,
what's good for you? Are you...
Can you squeeze us in? Do you have time?
So, well, you know, you didn't know that I was super fancy like that. I was like, let me talk to my... secretary. I'll get back to you. Hold, please.
I have to check my calendar.
Yeah, let me check. Okay, I'll take you there. You know, you're so desperate to get on when you really want. It's such a crazy process. And yeah, it's just, there's so much. There's so much paperwork and so much that you don't know that you're getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that was pre-pandemic. And then it was like, we're not sure yet, 41 or 42. And they were a little hesitant on which season it was going to be. And then pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then the calls. All right, I think we're going in July. Can you do 41? Or are you better if we go to, are you better for 42? And this went on and on. And then I got the dreaded phone call in February after pandemic. I was going with my husband on our first trip after pandemic to Florida. And I got the phone call. I have good news and bad news.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Which is like, I have bad news and a little less bad news, right? Mm. I was like, okay, what's the worst of the bad news? Well, you're off the cast. Great. So what's the good news? Because that sounds like bad news all around, right? And then it was, you're the first alternate. So if somebody drops, you're in.
Okay.
And yeah. And then it was like, what? So I went on my vacation all miserable, you know, laying out in Florida. I was like, this sucks, man. I was so pissed because you're so close, you know? Right. And then it's just, and it was such a long process for us. I mean, that was forever, right? So anyway, I get the phone call. That's done. It's Saturday night of their last testing for COVID on the Thursday in LA. And someone tests positive. And I get the phone call in the morning on Saturday.
Wow.
Stop it. That's what it was?
Yeah. And the reason I have it on video is my husband was out running. And I put the video up to tell him when he walked in the door like a lunatic. And what nobody knows, and I might have told this to Rob in one of our podcasts, is his first thought when he walked in, I'm like, are you on the phone? His first thought was, her phone is up. She caught me. What did I do? He was
like, that's new. That's new. I don't think I heard that.
He wasn't even on the phone. He just got so nervous that I caught him doing something that he was like, I'm like, oh, so what did you do? You know, I'm thinking, but I didn't even care. I was like, whatever. I'm leaving for 50 days now. Bye. So that is why I had it on video. And so that was sent to Jesse and everybody. So that was pretty cool to have that moment. Really, it was a shock to me. I had no idea.
And it was literally the next day you were leaving.
Yeah. It was Saturday that I got the call. I left on Monday. So I had Sunday to just go to Target and do
a haul. My God. Yeah. That's wild.
I was going to ask because they like expect you to buy all of this stuff.
It was a nightmare.
It had to have been.
I had to get all my stuff from Target. I had to get my dog settled. I had to get my kids settled. I had to pay all my bills. I had to set up auto pay. I had to quit my job. I had to go to the city on Sunday to take a special test for COVID to fly out to LA the next day. It was crazy.
You literally quit your job.
I had no choice because you have to give them 3 months3 months notice to take a leave. So I was like, I'm sorry. I'm taking, I give you leave. So they like,
yeah, and you can't tell them like I'm going on Survivor.
You can't even explain what's going on.
They were like, who are you? I'm like, I can't tell you, but I'm going away. They were like, are you a UC like undercover? Where are you going?
Oh my God.
I'll tell you when I get back.
When I left, people thought I was going to rehab, like in my town. I had to send an email to my son's teacher just to be like, I'm going to be gone for 7 weeks and Owen might be sad. He really can't talk about it. I read this email to my husband. I'm like, Aaron, where am I? He's like, you're in rehab. And that was the rumor that I was in rehab. So you can't, you know, you just have to live with it. Like, yeah, I can't really tell you where my wife is, but everybody thinks she's in rehab.
Yeah.
That was great. Good fun.
It's good fun. You hear all these stories that, I have the worst color and I have to get this and that. And they all had like 3 months to prepare. I had like 10 minutes.
And you had Target.
Hence my outfits. Yeah.
Well, now it's close. I think what rehab is 28 days, I think, right? So it's pretty close, you know, timing.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been.
That's amazing.
So it was crazy. It was really a lot, but I thrive in chaos.
Yeah.
I know, shocking, but yes, I do. I thrive in chaos. Mm-hmm. It was chaotic.
I love this. This is great.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And you have clearly a very supportive husband who was like, okay, great. Bye.
You kidding? he was probably like, yes. 50 days. That's like winning.
So once you got out there, it was a 2 week quarantine, right? Like, how does that all work out?
All right. So I get to LA and it's like they pick my outfits and, you know, doing everything that everybody's done already. And then we fly out the next morning. You know, we do all the last minute craziness that goes on. And then you fly out and they put you up in the, another resort for 2 weeks where literally you have like a room, a patio, and then like this caution tape that went across the mm-hmm. back. And I was like, what's happening? What's good? I did not sign up for this. And a flip phone, right? Which I didn't know how to operate because it was so old. I was like, how do you make a phone call on this thing? I was struggling. Like, you can call, you know, your home once a day or whatever. And meanwhile, I find out later, like, we were allowed to text that. I had no clue. And it was one of these phones, I swear, I didn't know what to do with it. It was like
there's three letters per button.
Yes. I was like, forget this. I used to be great at this, but I don't, this is like, you know, dinosaur shit. I can't do it. So I just opted
that's
out
Gen
of
Gen X
phone.
Stuff right there. Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. And then, so 2 weeks in quarantine, of which we weren't allowed to leave that room for the first 7 days because we had a test out and then they walked us around the yard for an hour.
Sounds like it's prison. Like, just walk around the yard.
Around and around. And of course,
recreational time now.
Recreational time. And I'm behind Sydney, who's like throwing a coconut in the air in her like thong bikini. And I was like, oh my God, I have to be on a beach with her. Oh my God, this couldn't get worse. There's nothing worse than this right now. So she would go around. And after an hour, you went back to your room and they dropped food at your door every day, three times a day. And that was it. And you did that for 2 weeks. And then
slept so much.
And we had a Fire Stick. So I just watched every season they put on of Survivor on there. And like, I just really, it was, and I was watching some, I don't even know what television, who knows what I was watching. I was watching earthquakes in China and I don't know what was happening. It was so long. It was the longest 2 weeks of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How? Yeah. And that's not it. Only to go to the Ponderosa to go to Tent City for 8 days.
It was 8 days?
8 days. By day three in that tent, I was pretty sure that there was no, that I was going to not make it home. Cause I was in that tent. It was so hot that I laid in that tent. And I remember thinking, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this?
God.
Is that still quarantining? What are you doing in the tent for a week?
It was pregame. It was just normally 4 days, but apparently there was some mess up with some quarantining issues with the, you know, other parts of the show, and it just became 8 days. So that was a long time to be thinking about and not talking to people and not looking at people. And you know how it goes, right?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be only one day in the tent city, but the oil lasted a lot longer than.
But it lasted a lot longer.
I think we were 3 days in the tent, maybe like 3 nights, 4 days. And maybe it was. Yeah, I think maybe it was something like that. Because by the last night, it was, they woke us up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. They were like, all right, you're going to bed now. They sent us to bed at like 6 o'clock, like, because at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're waking you up and we're starting. And everyone was like, oh my God, it was like that moment. But yeah, it was definitely not, that's craziness.
It was so long. It was so long. That's literally 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it was a long time to just.
It's a long time to wait to talk to people.
Oh, and just to go out to the game and you're so excited. It's like you're going up and down and up and down and up. And we never knew. They didn't say, oh, you're going tomorrow. You're going tomorrow. It was like the guessing game.
Yeah.
It was very long. It was very long.
And then, Tiffany, how much did they prep your cast about like, hey, it's going to be a new era. It's going to be a monster. It's going to be, we're throwing a lot of stuff at you. Zero.
Really?
Yeah.
So did they tell you anything?
They were just like, hey. That's
nothing, but don't worry because I made sure to eat my face off in Ponderosa and in quarantine. I gained like 15 pounds in 3 weeks. I'm not kidding. It was a bad scene. I don't know what, and I wasn't running. I'm a runner. So I went from like running and working out to eating rice because I wouldn't, the other stuff was like, I don't even know what it was. I'm not going to say it because it's inappropriate, but they were like sausage things and things that I didn't know what they were. And I'm like, I'm not eating that. So I ate a lot of carbs and a lot of rice.
You gained a lot of weight before the game.
Because I took it very seriously. My doctor's like, gain a little weight before you go out there because, you know, I was my normal weight.
Yeah. You know,
somebody needed to tell me that it's plus 10 pounds on the TV. And I was like, who is that person? Everyone was like, you look so good on the 12th day. I'm like, yeah, thanks. I know. I know what you really want to say. Just keep it to yourself. I have eyes. I see myself. It was like a disaster. I was like, what the? Who is that? I don't know. I had no words. Whatever. I wasn't that hungry anyway.
So when did they tell you it was going to be 26 days? I think David was asking.
That was the day or two before we left. Okay. Just came out and said, you know, you're all here deserving and, you know, we're proud of you, blah, blah, blah. You had a little conversation and it's going to be 26 days. I think it was originally supposed to be 30.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because of the issue, we lost it on the other side. So we lost it during pregame. And I think there was a lot of disappointment. You know, we were like 24. Like, we've just been in quarantine and pregame for like this amount of time, right?
Yeah.
So I there was all that like deflation of like, oh, my God. But nobody, I don't think a single one of us was like, oh, it's going to be harder. And what's harder? It's relative, right?
Yeah.
Some people would say sitting around on the island when you have 36 days is like too long. You know, you have too many down days there. It's boring and, you know, there's nothing going on versus this, which is like rapid fire. So, you know,
that's what Tony said. The down days don't count.
Right. Like for me, they would have counted. I would have been talking.
Yeah. I think it was the weekends don't count, Tony said.
Well, but the weekends were the down days, you know, and his.
He's going to make it fit into whatever he wants, Rob. So just, you know, accept it.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know, but it was a long time. Pre-game was a long time. And nobody was expecting. I mean, you know, I think hindsight now, we're all like, oh, there's no rice. What? But like, that wasn't really that big of a deal. We kind of made it a really big deal, but I'm like,
yeah.
I mean, everyone's starving out there. Like, rice is not doing it for you when you're working 24/7 to like keep the fire going and doing all the other stuff that you're doing and hunting and gathering and finding little baby turtles. Whatever I was doing on that island, driving
that the was separate. The hunting and the turtles were separate.
Right? I was actually looking for sweet potatoes because I had sworn I saw a leaf that looked like a sweet potato leaf. I took those poor cameramen around for like 3 hours. They were like,
define a sweet potato.
I thought I saw a sweet potato, Rob. Mm-hmm. Do you know, don't show me a sweet potato on that island. I was sure there was sweet potato and I could not find the spot that I thought I saw it in. That's how I found the turtles.
There you go.
So meant to be.
It was.
Great story.
Sweet potato.
There's no freaking sweet potatoes. Okay. There was nothing. Zero. Nothing. Birds. We had those crying ass birds.
Oh my gosh. We had the, well, obviously I was with Fiji too. Those birds are terrible. They're the worst.
They're obnoxious.
Because they're so unexposed. I think by this point they've been around a lot of people. They're probably like, why the hell do they keep coming back? But when we were out there, we were like the first ones on the island of Fiji. And one literally ran through our fire because they had no concept of anything. And they would run through while we were sleeping, but he literally set himself on fire, or she, whatever it was. But a bird caught themselves, like set themselves on fire. Yes.
We had the same exact thing. They had no spatial awareness. They flew onto our faces, into the fire. They cry like babies in the middle of the night. I'm like, is this... If I have a baby and I'm not dreaming right now, this is going to be a bad scene because I know that I've had my kids already and they're like 19. So what is happening? I was like, Xander, go get the babies. They're crying. It was so loud. And I remember Abraham, me, Voce were like, what in the hell is that?
Yeah.
They all cry at the same time. And it's like,
and you're not allowed to touch them. That's the other. They're like, do not touch the birds.
Don't touch them.
Like, the birds are like on top of me, and I can't do anything about it.
Nothing.
I'm not allowed to touch the birds.
Nope. They were all over the place at night. It was unbelievable. We were terrified. We didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was fun. Mm-hmm. Bird Island. It was great. Great. We had a lot of good things. We had no food. We had flying animals. I don't know. It was just a hot mess. It was a hot mess on Yasa.
You had those little crabs. You had the crabs that you ate and then wanted their votes.
Yeah, well, I ate the hermit crabs.
Yeah.
Which
you're not supposed to?
They're not real meaty.
There's nothing on them. You're literally it's like chewing tobacco. You'd be like chewing in the shell and then spitting it out. Me and Liana were going to town. Oh yeah, that's what they were like. I would gather them and me and Liana would be like, we'll do it. Evie couldn't touch them, made her vomit every time. And we just chew them and spit them out. It was like we were pretend eating. I don't know what we were doing. They're disgusting. They were disgusting. But I did catch a lot of crabs, which, by the way, you didn't see me do either. I caught the big crabs like almost every morning before a challenge. So
were you catching them in the baskets or were you using a spear?
No, there was a hole in one of the trees. And this stupid crab would, every day, there'd be one that would get in this hole. I don't know. They would come right into that hole and I'd go in and I'd look and say, I got him. I'd pull him out, you know. And then at night, when we were waiting online with our torches, which weighed 150 pounds, by the way, they're very heavy.
They're very heavy.
They're like, hold it with one arm and walk up the beach. I was like, like 3 a.m. And I'm like, are they serious? Like, what? They were super heavy, you know, and we're exhausted. But I could hear these big things in front of my feet and I would just stick my hands up and pick up crabs and put them in my backpack.
The crab whisperer.
Oh, I was like a full on like jungle mama out there. I was one with the land. They never showed it. Nope.
But now you get to talk about it and tell the whole world.
I'm telling everybody right now. Yeah, I was pretty badass out there.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, you know why they didn't show it? It's because you voted out my winner pick.
No, it's because they're not kosher, and I'm Jewish, and they were going to make me the Jewish queen, and they're shellfish, so I couldn't. They were like, we're not going to show this because it's going to ruin our whole Jewish identity on this show in one foul swoop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, I know, whatever. Pretty sure that there was a lot of conspiracies going on out there against me from the very beginning. It's all right. I still love everyone, sort of.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Tiffany, let's go back to the beginning. And could you tell us a little bit about your feelings about your Yasa tribe when you went with them? Was that like a group that you felt good about, or were there other people that you were kind of hoping that you would be marooned with?
So Evie being there, like I kept seeing her everywhere. She was across from me during quarantine, so that was great. Seeing Evie, I was like, that's great. I love it. Perfect. And then Xander was like kind of young. I'm like, that's good because my son's that age and I can like definitely vibe with him. Liana looked just very sweet. I was like, I can work with this. You know, Abraham was completely different than what I thought he was going to be like by just staring at him for like 20 days. But like, that was when, and Voce with those eyebrows always looked surprised at me. Every time I looked, I'm like, why does he always look so surprised when he's looking at me? But it was his eyebrows. They like speak for themselves. They'll kill me after this. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But so I was like, I can work with this group. Like, you know, I kind of felt like it was a good group. And when we hit the beach, it was Evie and I were like lockstep immediately. So that was great. And she really wanted a girl. She really wanted a girl, like a, you know, girl strong woman's tribe, mm-hmm. Which automatically after we voted Abraham out, gave us the numbers. And it was sort of like,
right,
done.
How are you feeling about the just experience overall when your tribe had such a disastrous start on the boat to get marooned?
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Did that sort of like take the wind out of your sails in any way?
Yes, for sure. That's like, you know, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but there was so much anticipation. And then we get these four paddles and they're throwing five paddles or six we had to get, and we got them right. And there was one up on the top and it was in yellow netting and it was really super hidden. But what everybody missed out on was somebody said, somebody get in the water and start putting those paddles in. Mm-hmm. So I took initiative. I said, I'll jump in. I'll get them. I'm a pretty good swimmer. I got this. I'll go in. I got all the paddles. But by the time I was done putting the paddles in, and there was one more floating away, ooh, I was already back. And I'm like, bye paddle. Like, I'm not taking another minute of my energy while these fools are running around on the boat trying to find this last paddle, right? And timing, of course, and edit made it look like I just let it float away, which I did. But also, I had to get in that boat myself. Everybody else had somebody to pull them in. Do you know how hard it is to hike yourself up with, like, wet clothes into a boat by yourself? You should have seen me. I was like... three times. I was like a dog. I kept like going up, trying to get myself in. And like, I couldn't, it was brutal. So then I just like laid there like this on the boat. I was just like waiting. So when Abraham threw my name out, right, at the camp, it was so crazy because I was the one who really got all the paddles in the boat and did most of that work. And so he admitted it. You heard it in the edit. He's like, I got to throw somebody's name out. As long as not mine, we'll throw Tiff's out. Cause I was kind of the sole person there. Just right. Sitting. I was just sitting in the boat because I had just gotten all the paddles and I was exhausted. But, you know, so there's that. And then we're all rowing. Like, we are going to town. We are like, row, row, row. And I'm saying, we're not moving. Like, we're going like nowhere. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know, but self, something's wrong here. And everyone's going row. And I look at everybody. I go, are we clipped in? So... all of a sudden, we realized we're still.
So this was even this was after,
yeah.
After the challenge was over, just to go to your tribe, right?
But didn't Luvu do the same thing? And yes. And Jeff was like, "Oh, you idiots! You forgot to unclip your boat." And then and then you left and did the same thing.
No, we were kind of the edit was funny, right? Because we were both in the water with our stuff, but at that point, Luvu was already down to the one side and turning around. And we were still giving it our all. And then we were like, you don't listen. You don't hear what's happening around you. You know, you're just sort of in your own moment. So somehow we just missed the whole you're clipped in gig. And Jeff was like, I think you're clipped in. And we were like, we're clipped in. Like, it was so bad. So bad. But we were like laughing hysterical because at that point, it's you're so defeated. You're so defeated. And so it was pretty, it took some wind out of our sails, you know?
So Jeff was your savior in that moment, letting you know to unclip your boat.
I was the one who said to everybody, I think we're clipped in, but you can hear him in the edit. So I'm not sure if I heard him and said something.
So it's like, it's St. Jeff.
St. Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Maybe if you would have told us 6 minutes earlier, but you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was tragic. I mean, it was bad. And embarrassing for all of us because we're like, oh, look at us, and here we go, right? And for me, I'm like, I'm the oldest one here, so I was already nervous that.
Yeah. You have a lot of concerns about that when you were looking around? Because there is that idea that if you're the older individual in the tribe, it's immediately a concern. Did you feel that at all?
No, because I think I'm 28 in my head, and I think it never dawned on me that I was really 48 years old. I kind of forgot. I was like, right. You know, age for me is really just like a number because I it's never been really a thing, that big of a thing for me, but mm-hmm. I know it is historically in Survivor. So I was aware of it, but I knew I was not going to be like that mom edit. Like, that's just not who I am. I'm right. Very social with everybody, any age. And it's kind of like, maybe that's from teaching, having kids that are, you know, as old as they are. So yeah, nah, I didn't really think of it that much, but it was there, but I had Abraham. So I was like, yeah. He's older than me, you know, mm-hmm. Heather, who also was older than me by a few years, you know, mm-hmm. But yeah, I really didn't pay too much attention to that.
You know, speaking of Heather, Tiffany, what did you make of at the final tribal council that Evie was talking about the people that are, you know, the, you got the young people and then the people
in their later years.
Yeah. The
women of the elder years. Okay. Nobody sees what I do, but Heather's to my left and Evie, and I'm looking at Evie and I'm like, she's going to do it. She's going to say something about us being, you know, women of elder years. She says, and the women of elder, she was trying so hard to say it in like a piece.
Yeah.
And she says elder years. And I immediately look at her like, that's you. That is all on you. I cannot believe she said that about you. Like in my head, I was like,
mm-hmm.
And then I realized, wait, I'm an elder year woman. And I was like, you did not just say that at this impromptu final like reunion. You did not just say that. Like your ride or die here who thinks she's 25. You just called me a woman of elder years. And just so you know, she sent me diapers for my birthday. They're here. That goes back to a joke that I made on the island that never went over well, but I laughed. I just kept myself entertained. I kept saying in the middle of the night, I'd be like, we really need diapers. I hate getting up to pee in the middle of the night. Mm. Diapers, we could be. And then I would laugh hysterically and nobody would laugh with me. And then Evie would start laughing because I was laughing so hysterically at myself because it was ridiculous. And so she sent me diapers.
That's okay. Amazing.
That's a lot better than sort of like the implication that Evie is saying you are so old. Here are some adult diapers. Yeah.
Right.
For your incontinence. Yeah. Just in case you feel the need to pee yourself.
You know, Tiffany, do you mind if we just I know we're talking about the beginning of the game, but, you know, you and I had been messaging a little bit about the impromptu finale where Evie was talking about the people on the elder end of the spectrum. And you had that pizza party at the reunion show. And I wondered if you wanted to talk about that at all.
Sure. I'll talk about that because why was I eating at a reunion show when I was sitting on Ponderosa for 6-7 days and I had the gall to take a piece of pizza and eat it?
Well, and to ask for a box.
And two.
You did. You asked for a box.
You're like, hey, could you just leave that box here?
Just leave that box. I think I was looking out for like Liana. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know what I was doing. And then I'm like, why? I was like, oh my God, that's worse than the balance beam. Like, why am I eating? Why? And I just don't know why somebody.
Going back to your roots when you first started the game and you were eating everything.
I think it was PTSD. I was like, I'm in tribal. I'm really hungry. I was here for like 16 days. And then I was like, oh no, stupid ass. You've been sitting on Ponderosa stuffing your face and eating like 1,000,000,000 Starbursts. And now you're having a piece of crappy pizza on national television in your beautiful red dress.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Winning. I was so mad at myself. I was like, why? It's such a Tiffany thing. I was like, yeah, I'll have another. You know, give me some champagne while you're at it. I'm just
I would have definitely taken the champagne.
I don't know. I don't know why I was eating. It was so bad. And I felt like I was at a zoo. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, the thing comes out and pizza. And I was like, what's happening? I think we were shocked. I think we just didn't know what was going on, right? Like, is this a joke? You know? And there's
that was a complete surprise as well. Like,
oh my God.
The live reveal of the winner, but then, like, then we're going to have this impromptu, like, after party thing with the finale. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. I was like waiting for like Cirque du Soleil to like come in. Like what's happened? They bring this thing out, it rolls in and they're like, you're at the reunion show. I was like, oh, what's next, Jeff? Like, do I pick door number one or two? It threw me.
Switch it.
It threw me.
Yeah. Monty Hall.
No, switch it, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Switch it. It threw me. It really threw me. I think, you know, we haven't seen that in ever.
So the reunion show is starting and what's going through your mind where it's like, we're at the reunion right now.
I was thinking, do we still get paid for a reunion? That's what I was thinking. That was my only thought. I swear to God. I was like, I will be damned. Damned if I don't get paid for reunion, because I thought we all felt so slighted, right? No this, no rewards, no going on in a helicopter. Where was my helicopter? Where was my merch feast? Zippo, where was the parent, you know, the family visit. Like, we lost a lot, right? Yeah. We lost the days. We lost this. But, you know, we were so happy to be out there that I think we were all like, whatever. But that was my first thought.
I love that.
That's an honest truth. Where's, am I getting my reunion money? Because that's really all I care about right now. All I care about is this really bad pizza, and am I getting my money? That's all I care.
Yeah.
That was what was going on.
You should have asked St. Jeff.
Yeah.
I think we did.
Look at that friend Stu, if you keep calling his pizza bad.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Stu the pizza maker. Yeah. Tiffany, not to be a total yenta about this, but did you get paid for the reunion show?
We did.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, that was a happy ending to the story.
Yes.
After it was like, blah, 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 we're getting paid. Okay, good. Keep moving.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, I'll take another slice.
Yeah. Give me the whole box. You know what? Can you give me another box? I want the one with all the vegetables.
Garcon, more champagne.
It was so bad. It was mortifying.
So, like, can I get a little salt and pepper? Maybe a napkin?
I'm glad I didn't ask for like a chicken parm. You got a chicken parm here, bro. Right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so we have some cupcakes. Like, what's happening? Where's our cake?
Was Xander asking for stew?
No, I think Xander. I mean, can you imagine, like, Erica? I felt like it was, like, so weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't get to go out there and wear your best. She just got off of this island. She's dirty and disgusting. She doesn't get to be celebrated in the way that you normally think you're going to be celebrated. We don't get to come back together as a cast with pre-jury, because pre-jury, half the people I didn't even know, right? And never met them or whatever it was. And then, like, you don't get celebrated, and it's just a weird, it was just so, it felt so choppy out there. But I guess watching it, it wasn't as bad as it felt.
Yeah. Something that I don't know, were the pre-jury people back at Ponderosa when you got there, or they were off on their own thing?
So they had some issues with pre-jury because flights were being canceled because of COVID.
Yeah.
And Jeff said to us at one point, the tribal before final tribal, he said to us, you guys may be going back out and playing 42.
Wow.
Because they couldn't get 42 people in.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get us out. So there was at some point during the trial, and I'm thinking to myself,
my mind is blown, Tiffany.
Yeah. I was thinking to myself, wait a minute. I'm going to look so good on 42. I am going to look stellar on 42. I'm going to be like a model when this is over. I was like, yes, another freaking 26 days of diet. It was great. But in my mind, I was like, you better feed me for like 3 weeks before you send me back out there, because I have zero strength. And I'm also getting every disease right now. It was like, I was fine on the island. Perfect. I got to Ponderosa and it was like all breaking down. I'm like, I need antibiotics. I need this. I have something on my lip. It was a mess. I think it was like your body just like starts to be like, oh yeah, you just like really killed me. Like, let me just be a mess now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were mind blown a little, and he was like half kidding. I was like, I don't know that he's kidding at all. You know, like, this would be real, you know?
This is why you ate the extra pizza, just in case.
I was, you know, I already knew. I was like, we're staying. Leave a box.
Pre-game mode.
Tiffany, right. Survivor 42 is Survivor 41. Drop the one or keep it. Drop the well. Two. Yeah, drop the one. Add the two. So, who wins Survivor 42 for AKA Survivor 41 Part 2?
Who wins? I'm gonna go with a woman.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with a woman.
From season 41 as 42, who wins? Your season, Tiffany.
Okay, I hear you.
You're gonna win this time. Yeah,
I'm going with a woman. I'm gonna say me.
Okay,
you can say you. That's great. I'm gonna say me.
And here's why I'm gonna say it, because if you talk to every single cast member, they trusted me. Everybody's either like, I'd live with Tiffany, I'd be with Tiffany, I go with Tiffany. Mm-hmm. So I think going in, I'm like, that's fucking great. Ooh, sorry. That's great. But you all voted me off, you stupid idiots. So now you want to hang out with me? Like, great. I'm good enough to hang out with a Ponderosa for the rest of your life, but you can't keep me in the game for another 3 days? Like, really? Like, get me a little further in the merge? But like, I had really I think when all was said and done, everyone like kind of trusted me a lot and really liked me as a person. So I feel like going into 42 is 41, right? I think I had a lot of good relationships everywhere. Everyone was so fractured. I think it would have been a blast to see us
out
there.
Do you think that the people from 41 could have continued to be together for 42, or were the relationships so strained?
No way. They would have killed each other.
I mean, this would be unprecedented. I mean, they would have marketed it like, you all said you love the cast of Survivor 41. Well, let's see.
It's like a movie continued.
Right.
I mean, the thing is, in the fan community, they've said that for years. Like, I'd love to see the whole cast of David versus Goliath back out here, you know, again, or whatever. And so, yeah, he could have said the fans asked for it.
I think what the difference is, had we turned around and done 42, if they do that, the best would be to do it back to back like that, because you don't want the preparation. You want to be totally shocked and be like, oh crap, and start scrambling and who am I going to align with? And you don't want the time, because as you know, as a player, what happens when you're a player and then you go home, you start getting funny little text messages from players from like 19 years ago who think somehow that they're going to be back on the island with you. And they're starting to put the feelers out that they're, you know, let's like, oh, hi, you know, and it's like, oh, I see what's happening. I got you.
That wasn't why I reached out to you, just so you know.
Yeah. Well,
that wasn't why I reached out to you, just so you know.
No, I think I reached out to you, Jess. I don't think you reached out to me first.
That's even better.
Yeah. I think I wrote you first for some reason. I don't remember what it was, but something. I don't know why, but I think it was me. But somehow, yeah, it does happen. You know, it's real. It's CBS. The family is small. Yeah. And it's really crazy what's happening. But at the end of the day, I think, like, you do something like that, that has to be, you don't know about it till it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is fascinating. I think you just got an exclusive, Rob, like full on exclusive here.
Yeah. I mean, this is wild. I've never even thought that this could be a possibility.
I don't think it was thought about. I think it was like, oh crap.
What are we going to do?
Yeah. Like,
we're going to have the dream team play.
Yeah. Needed to fix it. And you were the fixins.
Yeah.
I mean, we're there, right? We're all there. I mean, you can't get us home. You can't get them in. What are we going to do? Might as well play, right? So
incredible.
I think it would have been that would have been like a dream come true, right? And I think that everybody would have been psyched. Yeah.
Erica voted out first. Bye.
Erica, you don't get to play, but Jeff's going to stand in for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
imagine she won twice. I mean, it'd be incredible.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
No way. She'd be such a hard target. She'd be such a target.
Yeah.
She'd be such a target.
Tiffany. Did you know about the existence of the game within the game during the production of Survivor 41? Did you ever see like those like diagram rebus puzzle maps anywhere?
Never.
Yeah.
Never. And it's so obvious in the edit when you see it, you're like, oh, I was right there. You know, like Xander's looking under the bench for his own little thing that was right under his leg, right? But when you're out there, you're not like in tune like that.
What was it?
Not in your A game.
Did we ever find out what that was that Jeff put there? Xander obviously didn't know about it until he saw it on TV, but
with some advantage. I don't know what it was. We'll never know. Maybe 42 finds it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you feel like there was like too many advantages? Were you just sick of them as the game moved along?
You know what? Honestly, I wasn't. I didn't think it was too many advantages, and I didn't think it was too. What I was feeling was that the advantages were like not working the same way. Like I felt like. Like, and I've said it before, drop the four, keep the one that has the advantages here. Like, when does that ever happen? That like, you're not a target. Like they were people with advantages didn't seem to be targeted. And I felt like they weren't being used correctly or used at all. And just the being so open about your advantages. Like, when does that even happen? Like, where you're so open about them. Yeah. But also having that silly saying, like, of course you're going to be open because everyone knows that that's odd. So now you're figuring that out, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like it was too many advantages. Or when I got to, like, up to here was with the smashing of the glass. That just added an element of, like, hell to everybody.
You were safe, then from by the hourglass being smashed.
I was not happy.
Yeah.
No, because we were Yasa strong on the losing side. Mm-hmm. And we had already discussed that we were going to get Heather out, and we kind of had the numbers ready.
Interesting. So it backfired for you by being then saved.
Yeah. Well, that's actually very interesting, because I feel like that, I think outside the game, I think we all assume that Erica would be the one to go.
Well, no, because at that point, it would have been, we would have been not voting for Erica because she saved us. So we had, you know, she had the strong number there. And then we had, the Luvu people didn't immediately, you could tell immediately, like they weren't mad at her. There was no, it didn't backfire on her.
Yeah. But if there was no hourglass thing, she would just would have come back from the, exile island, that I think we presume that she would have come back and she would have been a target for, everybody that was voting that night.
I would probably think that that would have been a discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been a discussion for sure. But, you know, you don't know until it happens. And when it happened, it was so, everyone was like mind blown. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm really good with my feet. Like, I'm like a monkey. And that was like my challenge to lose. My husband was like, I cannot believe of all challenges. Like, I clean my pool with my feet. Like, I pick up the leaves with my feet.
Okay? Why?
I don't know. I like it, Rob.
Yeah.
Cause I can, that's yeah. why. Cause you know what? I'm OCD. And when the pool person is cleaning the pool, that's me. I'm the pool person. And it doesn't get all clean. And then the freaking leaf falls and it makes me crazy. So I, instead of getting the whole thing, I use my feet.
She's practicing for the next time she goes out on Survivor.
That's what
she's doing. Mm-hmm. Fixing the, you know, they have a lot of toe challenges.
This is why they were showing your feet earlier. You asked.
Yeah, you're picking your feet. It became significant.
No, it was, and then my hair, what was I doing? I don't know.
You've got great beach hair as well, I must say.
Thank you. At least I have something great out there. Beach hair. Good. Tiffany, great beach hair. What do you get for that?
Very entertaining. We loved watching you. There's a lot of great positives.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you came up with Mergatory, even though they stole that from you.
I did. I mean, I sold the hell out of that pizza at finale.
Yeah.
Sold it. Yeah. Domino's is calling any minute.
And you really created one of the most incredible moments, I think, of the whole season when Xander pulled the, you know, oh, would you like this fake one? And that was all you. So you should give yourself credit for that as well, because that was your plan. Xander executed it, but it was your plan.
It was. So, yeah. So it was actually, I'm not going to take full credit. I'll take a lot of it, but okay. It was Evie and ours, like exact same time. Mm-hmm. That's the only way to explain it. I told her, and obviously I was the one who told her about this is what she has. Mm-hmm. And yes, sir, this is what we need to do. And don't give it to you.
Yes.
Immediately together, we were like, I have to take it because everyone's going to know that. I don't know if the edit showed it, but she was much closer with Xander than I was. Mm-hmm. So it was obvious that it was going to go to me between her and I. And that plan, I mean, that we knew when we made that move, we're like, that's the move of the season.
It was beautiful. Like, what?
It was executed
so incredibly well. And it pains me to know that you were also not given credit for that as well.
Yeah, Xander really got a lot of credit. Even all winner survivors doing like best move, and it's like Xander.
Oh, I did. I was like, props to him for pulling this off. And so
yeah,
it's good to know that.
Listen, yeah, you know what? He pulled it off. I get it. They have to give the edit and they have to do what they want to do. So it's fine. But you know, I really like, that's a big move. That's a really big move. And I feel like it's so funny. Once you make a move, it's talked about. And then it's like, okay, on to the next thing. And then do people remember it? Do you get the credit for it? Do people remember, hey, that was a move that, you know, that you made and that was a great move.
Right.
And there really was no other move made with any of the advantages the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wouldn't have taken credit for it if you had voted him out earlier.
Oh God, Bloomberg.
is this a pro voce take?
Is Voce at your house right now? That's what I want to know.
No, he's conducting other interviews.
Yeah, saving brains.
Yeah. You know, but Tiffany, staying with the knowledge is power, did any part of you consider playing the idol for Evie when you were holding it at Tribal Council? Because I do believe, like, in the rules, you know, that Xander has given you that idol to hold, that, you can play it if you chose to, right?
Yeah. So, let's put it this way. Yes, it went through my mind, but I was very authentically myself out there. And the authentic Tiffany would never do that.
Yeah.
Would never play this kid's idol because it was given to me in good faith. It was given in to me as a, you know, as a hold it, we're going to pull this move off together. And that would sort of kill our alliance if I did that, right?
Yeah.
That would have been done. So she would have been voted off or she would have stayed, but then he would have hated us. And it would have been like a disaster. And people would have been like, oh my God, they're so dangerous. She's not even loyal to him. It came with a lot of risk and risk that I was not in the position to take because I didn't have that many numbers, right? I had Evie and I had Xander and that was it. And I was going strong with that. No matter what. And worst case scenario, Evie would have gone, but at least I would have had Xander and still the extra vote. And that's still like having three. So it was a win-win for me, not so much for Evie. And she got lucky and didn't go. But at the same time, I thought it was what would build loyalty. And it worked in the opposite way for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also considered keeping it.
Oh, interesting. What would you have done that he would say?
I would have kept both things.
Yeah. You had the extra vote too?
I would have kept everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have kept everything.
How soon did you give it back to him?
When we got back to the beach. I said, when it was safe, because it was in my bra. That was a whole nother issue. It was like here and like here, and they were miking me up. And this woman was like, hold on, I can't get. And I was like, wait, no, come closer. He was like, why are you so close to me? And they don't talk to you. I was like, because it was falling out, and everybody's in the tent with you. And I'm like, Oh, for the love of God, they always mic me here. Why like here today? You know, it was like one of those moments. And it was like, Evie's freaking out. And and I'm like, no, I got it. I'm just going to stay. My arms just gonna stay like this. Can you move your arms? I was like, she was so annoyed with me. I'm like, not really?
Wow. So the sound person almost totally blew the plan.
Completely.
Listen. I understand your panic and fear because the moment that we went out and I've had the legacy advantage, I shoved it in the back of my bra. And then all of a sudden they've got like the mic person comes over to like unmic me and pulls me aside. But I'm still like
within
to my and I'm like, I've got something in there. And the woman looks at me, she goes, we know, we got you. Don't worry. I was like, okay, thank you. It's a panic moment because you're like, someone is going to find this and it's going to, like, my demise will come because of the mic person who has to take this shit off of me. Excuse my language. But yes, I feel you.
That's not one of the rules, you know.
Can you fit that in the poster, David?
Yeah, I think it goes with the advantages, you know, how to work around the advantages, you know, and one way.
Be aware. You will be mic'd up and they will have to put things underneath you. So know where you're putting all of your advantages.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So I do want to go back. You keep trying to avoid this for some reason. Every time I bring it up, you go on to something else as if you you don't want to explain why you voted out my winner pick.
Are you filibustering the Voce vote, Tiffany?
Whatever, with Voce already. Okay, with Dr. Death. Let me explain this vote already, all right? Because he keeps explaining it from his point of view. And what he doesn't realize is there was a girls alliance. And they were going home no matter what, in whatever order. So what really happened is my name was out there for the first vote, unnecessarily. For the second vote, very necessarily. However, because my name was out there for the first one, it was Liana's turn to take one for the team. The problem was that Ebby went away and there was a conversation that took place that didn't need to take place. And when it took place and I wasn't there for it because I was on a talk or a walk or whatever, Liana, Voce, and Xander had a discussion and said, who are you going to vote out? And my name came up. And more likely because Liana just didn't want her name really to be out there either. And also because who else was she going to say? Right. But in that moment, Voce was like, oh, it's Tiffany, right? So we're going to do Tiffany. Even though we were all fine with doing Xander and leaving it, telling Xander it was Liana, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the plan. Evie goes away. I go on a talk. I come back. There was some conversation. And all of a sudden, Voce becomes very funny. Like paranoid. And he says, I became paranoid, but I became paranoid because we had a very set plan. It was Xander. We're saying Liana. I don't even understand why there had to be another conversation at all. It was done. And then it blew up and I became paranoid because he was paranoid. And then I thought he was throwing my name out because he hadn't been talking with me strategy at all. And we would go to the bathroom to Aqua Dump together, but never talked strategy. So I gave that.
That's another conversation.
But I gave him plenty of time to say to me, because I said to him, and he will tell you the story, do not vote me out. It was kind of a threat. I was like, don't vote me out because it's going to be you instead of Xander. But he was like, I'm not writing your name down. And when he went, I'm not writing your name down, I was like, oh, he's writing my name down. And that's when I became super paranoid. And also, I did not see that stupid advantage with my own eyes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it made no sense to me because have you ever heard about freaking butterflies and freezes? It was so crazy to me that I was like, this is something's weird. So I was, and Evie was playing super, super hard. So I wasn't sure if I was being played by everybody and that we were in the girls' line.
Yeah.
So I was worried because Evie had everybody in her pocket and I was letting her play that because I trusted that we were really strong. But then I just had that little tiny moment of complete fear that it was me and I was being played. And so, of course, they chop out everything and make it look like I don't know what's going on now. To be fair, I did not see the advantage. It sounded weird, and I did not fully understand it. And also, I didn't know that he had an extra vote at that point. I didn't know all of these things. So I didn't know what I didn't know was really what was happening. Okay? And also, Xander's very intelligent. He speaks like that. He says things that no normal 20-year-old young, he's super smart, and he's, the way he speaks is so... like an old soul. So like saying at the moment, I remember being like, ooh, that was a lot. But it wasn't like, oh, that was a lot. It's probably going to activate four other idols. And like, no, it was just like, oh, that's very Xander-esque. So like, you have to understand, like, I really, really believe that this was some kind of a kooky lie somebody was telling me.
Mm.
And CBS did such a great job of editing it. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, I love you. Good job.
Yeah.
So here's what it is. Like, yes, Voce was the target, ended up being voted out. Now, yes, he's going to say, how do you know it wasn't going to be activated the next day? We didn't know. But we also knew we were a girls' alliance. And if we were going to get Matt Singh, it was going to go down to me and Evie. So I thought, and all right, everybody's just going to be picked off like Ua was. But because I was so incredibly good at the challenges and landed balls and rings and bags.
And balance beams?
No, the balance beams is where... Listen, Jessica. Listen,
you're not her favorite anymore, Jessica.
I know.
Bloomberg, it's very hard to take... you're still my favorite. Jess, you're still my favorite.
Oh, aw.
I mean, David, I love you, but like, honestly, you kill me with
you
this.
You heard it here first, folks. I'm her favorite.
My favorite, but
between this
but,
duo.
Because this one doesn't stop with Voce because he just really wants to.
He really doesn't.
It's killer, man. It's killer. Voce doesn't let, you know, my one of my lines is it says vote and it's the Voce necklace. Because
I know, I saw that. I was like, is it misspelled or is it that she's rubbing in there that she voted him out?
I'm rubbing it in. Mm-hmm. I'm rubbing it in. But truthfully, like, if you were going to weigh, like, what was going to happen, two other people had to find that idol, and they all had to say it at the same time. That's if they wanted to say it. The likelihood that that was going to happen before the next vote was slim to none. That was how I felt. I weighed that out. I was like, it's not going to happen yet. So if we screw up the next challenge, then it's going to be Xander. So it was a win-win for me regardless, and for Evie, she wasn't so trusting of Voce. So she was like, all right, so Voce can go home now. Like, nobody, and I felt better because I was like, okay, so we're all good. And it is me and you and we're good. It was like a way to test how close I was with Evie and how close she was with Liana.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
There, do you feel better, David?
No, I'll never feel better. Well, But speaking of finding things and idols, how did you feel seeing on the show how close you were to finding the Beware advantage?
I was like, good. I'm glad I didn't find it. Because if I lost my vote, I would have been dead. Okay? Mm-hmm. Dead. Thank God I didn't find it. Because that would have been the death of me. That would have been like the death of me. For real. I have no vote. No way.
Hold off the butterflies thing?
I listen, I know butterflies are dead, really dead relatives saying hi. I got that down. I got all of them down in like 2 seconds. I heard them. I was like, got it. And I'm good like that. But like, if I would have, first of all, I was all over that tree. Now, I don't know about the edit, but I'm not sure if that wasn't found yet.
Interesting. Interesting.
So do you feel like that if you had lost your vote, it had been you that found it, do you feel like that Evie and Liana would have potentially worked with the guys and then just said, okay, well, you know, Tiffany is, we love Tiffany, but, you know, well, what good is she without a vote?
Yeah, I think I would have been in trouble.
Wow. Yeah, losing your vote when you have such a small tribe.
How about losing your vote when you just performed like shit on a balance beam?
Yeah. Well, okay. I wasn't going to bring it back up, but if you want to talk about it.
Like David, when he brings up Voce, I bring up the balance beam because I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I can't let it go. It's awful. But but really, that would have been the timing, right? So I would have been in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I think they would have jumped ship on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, it's fair because it's very early in the game and you have to find one reason to vote someone out. And you would have had a couple of reasons at that point. So for sure, you would have been in a very, very tough spot.
Yeah, I would have been in a tough spot. So, you know, no, I'm not happy. I'm very happy that he found it and let it, you know, I'm glad it was his and his cross to bear, you know, to bear and not mine, because that would have been bad for me for sure. Mm. I don't know that I would have made it to merge.
Can you talk a little bit about the struggle with the balance beam in that it was so early on and, you know, you've talked about like how, you know, you're a runner and you would go on to do well in all these other challenges. But I think that people just got the impression of you after that challenge that, oh, Tiffany, she's a liability in the challenges.
Mm. Yeah. So that was so interesting because I am really competitive and I am I don't like to lose. And I will go hard until I die to win something, right? And I'm agile, like balance beams. It's not. I was practicing at pregame on my bathtub, like in the room on the tiny thing. It was more that
it's
I really
not very safe. I'm just gonna
very so careful.
Put that out there. So, if the children are listening, please don't balance beam on your tub.
Right. Please don't do this at home. I was bored. So
leave
I was like trying
professionals.
Everything. Listen, you know, I mean, I was trying, but
we all did crazy things in quarantine. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And if that's my biggest vice, I think everybody happy to hear that.
Imagine the amount of sourdough they could have made while they were there, you know, just sitting in their rooms.
I'm trying to think of what
I
that
don't
means.
Know, David.
Just all the people making sourdough bread in quarantine.
Okay. I was thinking something completely inappropriate.
I
don't even
I'm
know
like,
what that would
how
be.
How do you make sourdough bread in a hotel room? What is going on, David Bloomberg?
Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a minute.
Different place.
You need yeast for sour bread, right?
Oh, no.
What? I'm no. It's an ingredient, Rob. It's an ingredient. Okay. We did have ingredients. Actually, we got to make our own meals. They gave us meal kits. That was fun. I made enough like ramen for like 57,000 people one night. They gave us so much, and I was like, I had two pots. I'm like, I think I doubled it. I don't know what I did wrong.
Like the so circle. Much. Yeah.
It was a lot. Okay, moving back to the balance beam. So I'm going to tell you what happened. This is the truth. I'm not going to make excuses. It was bad. But I didn't account for, first of all, I said I'd be the swimmer. I should have stuck with that. That would have been perfect for me. I'm a good swimmer. I should have just done the swimming. But then it was like, oh, I can't do the puzzle. I can't do this. Let's do this. And it's, you know, you're talking amongst yourselves. You don't even know your strengths or your weaknesses. And to me, a balance beam didn't seem like a big deal. Because in normal life, it wouldn't have been a big deal.
You're like, shit, I was doing it on my tub earlier.
Like, well, I was like, I can do a balance beam. I scale the perimeters of things by my house.
So I pick stuff up with my feet.
The perimeter of things.
Yeah, like, you know, the perimeter. I have a very small spot by my pool that I can get around. So okay. I scale it.
Has to clean it with her feet, yeah. Rob. Right. Remember? She's got to walk around.
I'm very agile.
Breaking and entering.
Yeah. Listen, I've done that. I've done that in my own house. Yes, it's true.
Okay. All right. Good. You added that. Yeah. I've done that to my own house.
Well, right. So just some more to my really bad resume right now. But on that balance beam. So what I didn't account for was the adrenaline that was pumping through my body, and I wasn't wearing sneakers. Very bad move. Very bad move. Mm-hmm. Because you have there's an amount of like when you have sneakers, it's just like that stability when you're crossing something that you feel secure. And I think that and I hesitated. And the minute you hesitate on a balance beam, it's over because you need to like just go across. Like Liana, right after I shit the bed, went across like a freaking swan, made me look like a fool. She was like over it in like 3 seconds. I was like, oh, that was just perfect. Thanks, Liana. Great. Made me look great. But I didn't account for that. And then I ended up sitting. And what I didn't account when I was sitting was how heavy I was. To like pull myself, it's really hard. And when you're shimmying across it, actually it's shinny. That's what Jeff said. My foot, like
shinny?
It's shinny.
Not shinny.
Yes, it is.
Jeff
said shinny.
Is it shinny? I don't know if it's shinny.
Shinny. When you shinny across it, not shimmy. Shinny.
Shinny. We need to look this up. Somebody look this
shinny.
Up.
He said shinny. I know. Isn't that weird? I was like, that doesn't sound right to me. But,
I'm Googling this right now.
Yeah, I am too.
Shinny. Look it up. And you if you too. Hear it, yeah, I'm telling you, he says it on the show too. Or somebody says it. You hear it.
Interesting. We are learning so much.
I'm a teacher, for Christ's sake. You knew you were going to learn something from me today. But anyway, while I was doing that, you could see Brad doing it and he was kind of sitting on his foot, but his foot had a sneaker on. Am I right?
It's another term for shimmy. It's literally the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I see that according to Grammar Hammer, I think this is Stephen Fishback's favorite website, they're saying that a shinny is to climb awkwardly, where shimmy is to shake or to tremble.
Well, and I would say you weren't climbing awkwardly.
I was climbing awkwardly.
Yeah, I saw it. The definition I said was vertical. Like,
well, I was whatever I was. It wasn't good. Okay, it wasn't good. Anything that was alive died out there at that moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Death to it all. Anyway, there was a lot of things against me, and then I didn't have the strength. I was just so weak. Mm. And then I did it. But here's the thing: I'm telling you. I fell a few times, but the edit made it crazy. And again, my sassy self, what they didn't show is that in the middle of it all, I went, stop it. I told everybody to shut up because Jeff is yelling at me. Everyone's like, come on, you can do it. Like if I could do it, I would have done it. Like stop yelling at me.
Yeah.
Like you're not helping. So I went like that and the whole, it was like crickets, the production.
I can't believe they didn't show that because that I think would have been hysterical to see.
It would have been, but it didn't line up with the edit that I had for those two episodes. It would have made me look, you would have seen my personality a little bit before my personality that they wanted to show it, I think.
Right.
So that's where that was, but it must be hysterical because, and then I just lay down on the beam because I was like, I'm not moving. So you guys all shut up. And so then I get up and then I get across it. And here's the thing. Okay. So maybe it was 4 or 5 minutes, but I made it across it and it wasn't as bad as they made it look. Right. Yeah. And the whole, you can do it moment where it looks like I'm about to die and pass out. It was just so they dragged it.
Yeah.
Well, kids would be
I think we can all agree that they are creative at times with the editing.
For no, sure. I mean, we can, but also that was me. It was bad.
Did you feel bad later when Heather got the applause moment?
I didn't think about it for a second out there because I had just landed 4 balls. I didn't give a flying hoot. I was like, yeah, whatever. Here's another one. And here's another one. And oh, here's another one. I was like, I did not know. It wasn't until the edit and being at home watching it. I was like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I got killed. And she got this hero edit.
Just in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my moment. I just put 4 balls up again.
I get it.
Where was my moment? Tiffany Lindsay. No. Heather, how are you feeling about? Thanks. Again, thanks. Thank you for that. Thank you. Great.
We'll talk to Jeff. Jeff, mm-hmm. Are you listening?
Yeah, sure, that was like Heather's only moment in 6 episodes. So,
well, and it was a long moment.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a long moment. And listen, she made it to the end. So, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, if I made it that far, don't put me in the show. I'd rather that check than the check I got. Mm-hmm. Leave me out the entire time. Leave me out the entire time, and then show me at the end being like, "Hi, here I am. I'm here for y'all." But whatever, it is what it is. But yeah, it was a bad moment, but it was also funny.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. Like I can laugh at myself and make fun of myself just as good as everybody on Reddit can. So yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about, post Voce, David, it's okay if we move on past Voce.
Are you satisfied?
I don't know. We'll probably,
he will never Voce be satisfied.
Yeah. His about side Voce of going home. So,
Redemption for Voce? Yes.
Okay. I want that. He should have played 42 because then he could have come back and won.
I'm so sorry. I killed your dreams.
Yeah.
You really did. And I had to also kill mom.
So,
yeah.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Murdered them.
So, can you talk a little bit about the levels of subterfuge of the, okay, we have to make Xander feel, some type of way. And so we're going to pretend that we are working with him, but we're not really working with him. And just some of the ramifications of that.
Where? In pregame?
At Yasa?
Well, we were working with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really, basically it was, we don't need to vote this kid off. Even it went, first of all, if we lose, okay, we vote him off, done. But Liana having to pretend she doesn't know a lot of what was going on is really what prompted her to be so super crazy with it all, because she just was not feeling heard, I think. And so she just wanted him off. He rubbed her the wrong way so badly. But we were winning. So it's like, but we're winning, And and we're winning and going into merge with numbers that we could pull Uwa. And then we have Uwa and the extra vote. Mm-hmm. And we have, he has an immunity idol. Like, we are set. We should have took that home. We should have been at least midway through, all of us. Halfway through merge,
mm-hmm.
Had things gone the way we'd hoped, or the way that I think all of the viewers hoped. I think Yasa was like, people wanted us to win and stick together. So and I felt that out there, even with that, I was like, guys, we are in such a great spot. And then it just blew up.
Yeah.
Kiss of death. Kiss harsh. Of death.
Mm-hmm. Very harsh.
Yeah.
It was harsh. It was harsh because we were, it was that Liana flip that just killed us because.
Do you think you could have fixed that? Is there any way to save her from flipping at all?
No. She wasn't going to, no. There was a mission. There's the climate that you're coming into it. There's her being like, I am so tired of this kid and I'm tired of them not listening to me to get him out. That I am going to go. These people are listening to me and this is a good cause on top of it. There was no way.
Right.
No so way. Maybe if you had voted out Xander instead of Voce.
I know. I heard
Thank
it.
You, Jessica.
Thanks, Jessica. Thank you, Jessica.
Good, good. I'm just saying, maybe.
Rob, what are you doing later? Because they just went. Both of them just left the room. Rob, talk to me.
You could just finish this out. Yeah.
I'm just working through some options here. Like,
listen, maybe. But you know what? Voce is such a, he would never have stayed loyal to me. He says he would.
This is good information to gain. For
he
sure.
would never have stayed loyal. He's full of it. He would have gone with Bernard and Shan and everybody moving by.
All right, so there we're back to that Bloomberg. It's a good thing she voted him out. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I didn't win. So.
Right. No, but it's a, it's an impossible situation to make work because, you know, that, you know, you have this relationship with Liana, but then she partners up with Shan, who is such a great player in her own right. And she, you know, wants to work with Shan, and she's going to go in a different direction. I had thought that there would be a possibility that, OK, this is great. Liana can work with Shan and then bring her into the women's alliance that you're that you're working on. But ultimately, that doesn't come together because Liana and Shan, they get something going with Danny and Deshaun. So there really wasn't a path for you and Evan specifically to move forward at that point.
Honestly, I'm diabolical. I can come up with some great strategy. And I had it going in my head, left, right, and sideways. But you cannot strategize when people aren't talking to you.
Yeah.
And it's impossible. And you could not, it was amazing. I even made it to merge because the footing, you could not get your footing. I saw the Black Alliance coming together right in front of me. And I was like, I was telling everybody, but it was almost like, it's not really happening. Like, no, it's happening. It's happening. I'm watching it happen. It's happening. Like, hello. And I did have, and I will tell you that, and Shan will probably tell you, I had a conversation with Shan where I'm pretty sure I was this close to, she will say she was very close to hearing me out because I wasn't lying. I was telling the truth. And she kind of was like, oh, she's telling the truth. And I was very close with Danny and I had some footing going, but the twists, the rock draws, it was, if I could get every crappy draw that there was, it happened to me. And the night I was going out, I said, my back's up against the wall. Like, it's going to take a miracle for me to pull something off. And I was close.
Yeah.
What was that miracle going to be?
Heather standing up and trying to switch the vote to Nasir. And then, I was waiting for it because Shan immediately says, that's it. We got to get Heather out. She's just messing this whole thing up. And if it wasn't for Deshaun's being so annoyed with me that I put his name down as a default at one of the tribals, he was like, no. And then it was, all right, we got to do what Deshaun wants. Cause ultimately we're part of a bigger alliance. And so that really, I mean, I was like, and if I needed one more day.
So you think the advantages were also a part of your downfall?
I think the rock draws, like the flipping of the line, like flipping of people going for like
of the tribes.
Yeah, like swapping, but it's being the same. We swapped, but there was only one person different. Nasir and Erica again.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So I never switched, and I didn't have any. There was no talking with them.
Right.
I saw Erica for 5 minutes. It was crazy. There was just no footing. And I was dead in the water. I knew it. Unless Xander did what my plan, which he wouldn't talk to me at tribal at that point. So that would
be that's a bad
What was your
sign.
Plan that you wanted Xander to do?
So I was going to tell Xander to use his extra vote. Me and Evie and Heather and Eric at that point, I was trying to get a Shan vote. And I think it would have worked.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And did he talk to you?
I never said it out loud. No. I kept it in. That was what I was going to do. I was going to blow up tribal at the end and do that. But I got that because Xander, and in all fairness, he was so worried about me because I was such a target. Mm-hmm. And initially they were trying to split the votes on us that I think he just didn't want anything to do with me at the moment. And I don't blame him now. But, you know, going back, looking back, he had the tools and I had the numbers.
Yeah.
Not the numbers solid, but enough to be like, hold on. If I tell Nasir Shan, if I tell Heather and Erica, they will get Shan out right now. Like, they'll do it. you know, they only took another one or two votes and she was out anyway. So like it was there, it was in my head, but you can't make it happen when nobody's listening. So,
right. You were talking to the crabs instead at that point.
I was talking to myself going, oh my God, I could so do this right now. And like, I had a million different plans going, but you can't do it when no one's listening and no one's talking. And that was it. That was it. It never came to be.
I know you said you had a good relationship with Danny. How did you get close with Danny?
Oh, that was a big target. My first day at Merge, Danny and I just started having conversations literally about children and kids. His wife is a social worker. Aww. I sort of figured him out right away, which he'll tell you about. And he's spoken about like that. I was the only one that he was like,
because
oh shit.
You're a Cowboys fan.
Well, my kids are. Yes. Yeah. Unfortunately. Cause you know, we're Mets, we're Cowboys, we're a hot mess in this family.
Oh.
My husband's a Chargers. Like we're all over the place. But yes, my kids have been Cowboy fans forever. And just by looking at him, I had like judged him by looking at him, you know? And I'm like, his body's like, he's definitely some NFL guy. I'm like, this guy's a football player. And then he told me he lived in Dallas. And I was like, Danny, if you're a Cowboys player and I don't know it, and my kids find out, I'm really going to be. So he got really scared because he's like, she figured me out, you know? So I knew it. When he came to Ponderosa, he's like, I'm a Cowboy. I'm like, I freaking knew you were. When he said, let's go Cowboys, I'm like, they're going to die, you know? But I also kind of knew it. And so him and I also, you know, we were laying in the shelter. Earshot from everybody. We talked for 2 hours. Shan was like, And it was, if it's getting too close, everybody's talking to her. She's all over the place. Everyone's talking to her. And it was bad. I was taking,
social butterfly,
I was
taking away. Problem.
Yeah. Social butterfly. But you know, I was, and I wasn't, I was pretty quiet at Merge because there was really nobody to talk to. At one point I was walking around the shelter. I'm like, I'm just going to talk to myself. Nobody's talking to me. I was like, I didn't care. I was like, no, they're going to air this because I'm talking to myself. But like, no, I had nobody. And Evie had the necklace on. Nobody was talking to her because she was the target originally. And then she screwed that up by winning. Mm-hmm. And then I was out because she did that. But I was also really happy for her because, you know, I'm so proud of her. But
the nerve.
At the same time, I was like, it's me. I need a miracle.
Mm-hmm. You need a Xander. He wouldn't help you.
Poor me.
Yeah.
Poor me.
Tiffany, what about when you snuck out at night to go and then you met up with Brad and Sydney? Did you have any sort of like expectations of what you were going to go and do?
No, I didn't know what I was doing. No. All I knew is that I was in a boat with some Fijian in the middle of the ocean by myself for quite a bit of time. And I'm thinking to myself, this is odd. Like, you just have these thoughts out there. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm in the middle of the water. Like, it's such a weird moment. You're like, I'm on Survivor. Like, you have these conversations with yourself. You're like, yeah, you're out here right now. Don't forget this moment. This is weird. And then you get to the island, and it's Shipwheel Island, and Sydney comes in hot. She's like, vote Nasir. I was like, what? What the hell are you talking about? Who's Nasir? Like, what are you? And also, I fell asleep in the boat. So I was like, they're like, we're here. Because you go from, I was in the middle of the ocean with that Fijian, and the next thing I'm in a blacked out boat, and that takes another half an hour. And I get to this island, and she's voting this year, and then there's Brad, and he's like 9 feet tall, and he's like, hey. And I was like, what's happening? I had no glasses. I couldn't read anything. I lost my glasses. I'm like, Sydney, read it. The thing is like a freaking 12 feet long with a million words on it. I didn't hear a single word she said. I had no idea what I was doing, what I was voting for. Till I think I was.
Except vote Nasir. You knew that.
Except vote Nasir. Here's the best part. I went to see, Evie at one of the screenings, and everyone's like, I'm like, I got the tarp. She turns to me. She's like, no, you didn't. You didn't get the tarp. I'm like, see, I still didn't understand what I was doing. I thought I got the tarp.
You still don't even know, even after watching.
I was like, wait, I didn't get the tarp? She's like, no, you picked tarp, which means that, you know, I was like, right, that, okay, I got it. I mean, it was such a long night, and when I don't read it myself, I don't absorb. It's like I'm hearing you, but I'm not really listening. So they're like, choose. And I was like, wait, what am I choosing? Who am I choosing? Even the edit, you could see me be like, okay, so we're going to give it to him, and then I'm going to give it to you, and we're going to be good, right? it didn't even make sense. I was like, what are you talking about? But whatever. You know, at that point, I didn't need any more targets. I couldn't lose my vote. There was no way. I wasn't going to risk it. I would have been Xander. Mm-hmm. Again, same as if I would have found that advantage. So no, it was, you know.
And that was that was another confusing part of the edit, because you two left the island, like, both saying negative things about the other.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in the, I guess, pseudo merge tribal council.
Mergatory.
Yes. In the mergatory tribal
council. Thank you, Rob.
Sydney is like wanting to work with you and saying, give me the idol. And we're sitting here at home. I remember sitting here going, Sydney, are you crazy? Why would she give that to you? She didn't even like you. You didn't like her. And they just skipped the whole part that you later talked about in interviews about how you two became thick as thieves in like one night.
Done. We were locked.
That's amazing.
I had so much going on with every like person there, but it was bad luck.
Mm-hmm. It happens. That's Survivor.
That is Survivor. That's true.
It is Survivor. It's like you sit there and you're in it. And when you get home, it's like, how did I not win? Like, you're like, how did I not win? Like, what? Because you're looking at it and you're so
Rob says that to himself a lot.
That was Rob's first words to me. Why did I lose?
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you get home and you're like, this looks so, why didn't I think of that? Because you're not sleeping. You're not eating. You're not thinking straight. Like, you think you're operating, but you're really not. So it's pretty brutal when you get home and you're like, that would have been easier. Mm-hmm. Why didn't I just please Liana and let my name be out there? Because at that moment, I wanted to show I had strength and you know, you're not going to steamroll me and authority. And I'm playing. I'm here to play. But looking back, like, oh, I should have just voted off Xander and then she would have been over it and then me. But still, there would have been the Black Alliance. So I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the problem. I mean, a lot with what happens on Survivor is almost a ripple effect. And you don't know what effect is going to come from whatever decision is made. So you can sit here and what if all you want, but you really don't know what the result will be if you had done something different.
Right.
And then someone could turn back time and change the whole thing anyway.
And that's true, too.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that. But all I'm saying is one thing. Don't turn back time and not give me a damn merge feast.
See, we were saying that too. We said, if you're saying they turned back time and those people didn't eat, we said that on the podcast, Jessica. And I was like, those other people should have to throw up the meal and you should get a meal.
Yeah. Like a baby bird. I would have been like,
No, not the same meal.
You told them to throw up the meal. So I'm like, baby bird, I'm waiting for it. I did eat pizza at the finale, so don't go there with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so it was odd. It was like, we're turning back time, but we're not doing exactly what we did. And you're not getting the same thing they did and so on and so forth. So, you know, but guess what? It's Survivor and Jeff can do what he wants, right?
He can. He's Savior Jeff, remember?
Yeah.
And he will. And he will.
Saint Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. And you know what? I should have bargained more. I didn't think to bargain. That was another thing. I could have bargained more. Like, you forget that you can do these things.
Right. And I will say that there is a huge effect when you are out there. You get so caught up in the control that is put on you by production with all of the rules and the things that you can and cannot do that you tend to forget that you can still be human out there and you can still do things. I remember the first time going to tribal council asking Jeff if I could take a drink of my water. And he was like, yeah, of course you can. This is your tribal. You can do whatever you want. And I was like, oh, thank God, because I'm so thirsty. But you forget that, like, you're allowed to do these things, right?
Totally. Yeah. And I'm
definitely messing with you.
And I'm such an advocate for myself and for people. So it's so odd that I wasn't like, okay, seriously? But I did say it then. Like, I was a pain in the ass. Like, every day I'd be like, we'd be at a challenge. I'm like, did you do this challenge? He's like, no. I'm like, I'm about to do it. Can you stick a piece of steak on a stick at the end of it? Because I'm pretty sure I'll get across really fast. Mm-hmm. Like, what can we do to get a piece of steak on a stick? Can we do something?
Could you imagine if Survivor started doing that? Like, enticing people with food? Like the dogs that chase the thing
around
the
track. Yeah, dragging it. Put it on a wire and just pull it across the balance
beam. That's it. You put a fish up, Tiffany is performing. Mm-hmm. That's it. You show me food. I'm like, okay, I'm there. Yeah. I'm good.
the balance beam would have been totally different.
Yes. You know why, Rob? That is why I love you.
Yes.
Because you know that that was the reason I just failed at it, because there was no food at the
end. There was no food. If there had been pizza
or like little peanuts across it that I could just like, like a little squirrel, like
yeah, shinnying across.
You would have been picking them up with your toes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would have been all over that. I don't know. I've been hanging upside down, eating at the same time as I shinny across it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had great moments out there. Don't think I wasn't thinking when I was on that rope. Tiffany, if you fall, you better drown because you are not going home. Ever. That's right.
That's aggressive.
Yep. I wasn't going to. There was no way. I was like, I'm falling. And then I just like fell off the side of the thing. Like, that was great luck also. That's very under. It's not talked about, but it is. Something the whole cast talks about when we were in Chicago. I mean, we were peeing our pants because watching me just like get onto that platform and then I just like rolled into the water.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was a horrible entrance. I was like, oh, ew. That was bad too.
And that's one of those moments too where you, like, you have to pretend because they're like, all right, swim out. And you're like, where am I going? Where am I swimming to?
I'm on my way.
I'm really tired right now, but okay.
Oh my God.
Swim to nowhere.
Well, it's so tiring swimming in that water. And
it really is, yeah.
I mean, I remember once I got in that water and rolled into the water, I was like, oh, please, cameras, go somewhere else. I need like 10 minutes to get out of this water. Like, and then Evie, like going the wrong direction was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Just, she looked like a little sea otter and she was like going this way. And I'm like, no, this way. And she's like, where am I? I was like, this is great. This is hysterical. Like, I was like laughing a lot out there. It's a problem because I laugh in like a lot of situations that I shouldn't. But like, it was hysterical. And I'm like, oh God, I can't work and laugh at the same time. You know, I have to like get myself together. But
especially when you're trying to swim.
I know. It was just hysterical. But there's so much, you know, fun that you're having out there also while doing this. But those challenges are like, you know, hardcore 4 minutes of the biggest fear of your life when you're out there.
You know, yeah.
Literally your life. So,
you spend a lot of time going, so this is what I'm doing? Okay.
We don't get to practice first or we don't get one run. Like,
I haven't eaten. I have no water. And this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm not even here. Somebody go before me so I could see what I'm doing because I'm not being the first. Not me. Not today. Yeah. No, sir. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot. It's shock. Everything is a shock. It's a first. It's new. But now I feel like it's just like that crazy thing. Like I got to go back out there. But you know, I'm living life.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
There's a million other people that are, you know, could be called back, and who knows? We'll see. Maybe there'll be a redemption for Tiffany. Redemption for the beam. I should start a campaign. Beam redemption. You thought it was bad last season.
This season is all balance beams.
All balance beams.
There's a comedian that does all of that. He does the redemptions for people who have done things on like national television. And he invites them in.
Yeah. That could be me.
We could do that. We'll do that for you.
What do you need to be redeemed for?
I just want to make it across and look really good doing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Tiffany, we're doing this. Yeah. Oh, we're going to make a video.
I'm telling you.
You'll be wearing your red dress, flowing.
With pizza hanging out of my mouth as I go across the mountain.
And champagne. Holding a glass of champagne.
With pizza.
It will be lovely.
Oh my God, it will be so good. It'll be
new. Blowing your hair, your beach hair.
Oh, I'm going to be great. And I'm going to actually go with the 4 and 5 year olds, like my gym over here. And I'm going to be like, I just need to do this. So little kids. Yeah.
This is going to happen.
Move away.
We'll edit some water in. Right. So it looks like you're really in the ocean. Oh yeah. It's going to be, this is doable.
So doable. It's so doable. That TikTok got that 70,000 hits. The one that I did where you see me back on the top of the thing. You see that one?
Oh yeah.
And I said, she's back. And I was like scaling the top. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing it. There will be redemption. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but there will be something. I'm working on it.
I see this in my head. This is definitely something we'll
have. What you see in your head and what I saw in my head when I was out there. I was like, wait till they see me go across this balance beam. It's going to be so great. Great.
You build yourself up. You're like, I'm going to be amazing. And then you're not.
So good, you guys. Yasa, I got this. Don't even worry about it. All me. Yeah. Great at balance beams. Like, who even says that to a group? Yeah, I'm so good at balance beams. What? who was I? Nadia Comaneci? I haven't seen a pound in 14 years. Like, why would I say that? Like, stupid ass. Such a stupid thing. I'm so good. I can do it. Yeah, no,
I can't anymore. I'm just going to
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, really? Like, why?
Oh, my God.
Embarrassment. Full-on embarrassment.
Tiffany.
Glad you're laughing.
Oh, my God.
Laughing.
What was your experience like as being on the jury?
Oh, God. Which part? Like, each tribal or, like, final?
Oh, well, I mean, just, like, going to each tribal. That I feel like that, you know, being the first person on the jury, I feel like that that's got to be, like, a ride, that you are sort of the first person there, and then you're going to all these different tribal councils.
And you always looked so happy.
Are you making fun of my happy face? How about when I got attacked by that little Cessna?
Oh, yeah. What was that? Was that like a flying cockroach?
You know, that, you know, I don't know what it was, but it was ginormous. And I will tell you something else. I have since found out that they bite.
Oh, my God.
So you could have been hurt in the process.
I could have been killed. Could have been killed. Listen, this is a lot.
I mean, are they poisonous? Do we know about this? How is it killing you?
It's not going to kill me, but
coronary arrest. You ever hear that, Jess?
That's right here.
All right, okay.
I could have had an allergic reaction to some unknown veto.
All of the information.
Blood sucking. There was going to latch right onto her neck.
That thing was huge.
But her ninja moves were so fast.
I went like this. I
didn't have a chance.
And Jess goes like this. I'm like, yeah. And then I went. And they edited it, but they edited it differently because it was literally land, flick, and Jeff goes. But they made it sound like that was me talking to heaven to Heather, but that was me showing Jeff, look what I just did, huh? Mm-hmm. You want to put me back in now?
Yeah. That's right.
What I wondered was, did it really happen exactly when Heather said, maybe an immunity idol will fall from the sky?
David, when there is a giant unknown thing coming at your face.
UFO.
Yeah. A UFO. You are thinking nothing other than, holy crap, that's about to land. If I open my mouth, it might.
Yeah,
I thought about it. And I was like, all right, I heard it. And all you heard was like, it kept tapping like the lenses of the videographer's lenses. You could hear
camera,
it.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah, the camera. Thank you. And then all of a sudden, I see it. And it's like, oh, it's coming for me. And I'm like, And I look at the jury and they're all like, and then it just
was it a swarm or was it just one that was everywhere?
It's just amazing. One.
Oh, it was attacking all of them.
I mean, it looked big on TV, but in real life, it was massive.
Jess, did you ever see that thing?
No, but I will say during tribal council for one of our moments, there was a spider like as big as my hand. I'm not even joking. That all of a sudden, like we looked down and we were like, and everybody jumped up and Jeff was immediately like, what is going on? Because the jury is like moving and reacting. Yeah. And it's because there was a spider. Taylor tried to like kill it. It ran away, but it was so massive.
What happened to, hey, it's your tribal. You do whatever you want.
Well, right. You know, like, come on. You want us to die? Tiffany, I could have died because of this massive spider the size of my hand.
Yeah. I'm feeling we have a lot in common here on our
experience. Were both attacked on the jury by a massive bug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were. And I had eye issues out there. So we, you know.
Oh, God. Yeah. Listen, we're like
spirit animals.
Mm-hmm. We are spirit animals. It's funny, too, because Bloomberg said we are the same person. Just so you know.
I feel it. I can feel it. You can feel it.
I love this.
So back to your question, Rob. What was it like? You like that? I just turned it.
You feel like that you had a real feel of how things were going in the game, being on the jury?
Yes, but it was aggravating because when you're sitting there, you're like, "Oh, you guys have to make this move." And you're watching it and you're like, oh, you come on, man. Really? I felt like I knew everybody that was coming out next. I was like, here comes Evie. Here comes Nasir. Here comes. I knew the boot order in like 3 seconds. Yeah. It was the weirdest. I like literally when I got out, I was like, this is what's going to happen. And I said, it's going to be me. It's going to be Nasir. It's going to be Evie. It's going to be Shan. I ticked it off one by one by one by one. I knew it. And it was like, come on, make a move. Like I just wanted you want to go back in and control it and be like, what are you guys not seeing? But again, I'm eating, I'm sleeping, I'm showered, I am seeing clearly, right. You know, and they're still like, oh, like, you know, oh my God, you forget very quickly that you're not in the same frame of mind, but it's aggravating. And it's also like, oh crap, like I'm really out. Like it's depressing and it's long and it's like, oh, tribal council. It's like a long night, you know, but it's part of the game. And you have to be there and be part of it because you know, you're voting for a million, for the person to win the million. And you're really watching the dynamics.
So you're seeing all these people go out. At what point are you seeing that you feel like that Erica has a good shot to win this thing?
When Shan goes out.
Interesting. What was it about that particular moment that called Erica?
It was the move that I was trying to make.
Right.
You know, there's a move that everybody should have been trying to make. If not Shan, Nasir. If not Nasir, Ricard. Not Ricard, Xander. Somebody with something in their pockets. Shan has power and she has something in her pocket. Like, why? I mean, it doesn't make sense. So it was annoying to me. I felt like nobody was really playing. It was just like they were waiting for somebody to make the move that started the domino effect.
Yeah.
Like nobody wanted to rock the boat. And you hear me saying at the one that I get voted out, we're playing Survivor. You have to rock the boat a little bit.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It was so stalemate. Like, I was like, oh, like, this is, come on, guys, give the fans something, like, use something, you know? And that's what it felt like. And easy to say when you're already booted. But, you know, you're playing that weird line of, I want to be in the game and I don't want to rock the boat because I want to make it a little further. But at the end of the day, if you're not winning, it's nominal. It's like not really that big of a deal. So, like, I would almost rather be the first to jury. Like, good. I'm a big threat socially because truthfully I did have everybody like me even till the very bitter end. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice for me to know that I really played authentically as to who I am, but it was also aggravating because I also know that I could have gotten further, but people were so afraid to make a move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just part of, we're mimicking what's happening in the real world right now. And that's kind of what it was. And, you know, it is what it is. You can't go back, you can't change it. But I was very aware of everything while I was sitting in that jury. And I was really watching the dynamics and making sure that I would make a good decision at the end and not be bitter. And I wasn't bitter. I really wasn't. Like, I was just like annoyed at myself, but not bitter at them.
Right.
Kudos to you. You got me out. Like, good job. Because, you know, clearly I was a threat.
Can you talk a little bit about the response to when you said Baruch Hashem on the episode and people were so excited, Tiffany?
Oh, my God. Do you know that I just won I'm number four for the most iconic Jewish movements on Hey Alma, wrote a whole thing about the 50 most iconic Jewish moments, and I'm on
2021. You were number four.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That definitely deserves a ding. Yes.
So,
could you have ever imagined, Tiffany, when you were going to go out to Survivor and they said, can you leave tomorrow? That you would have the number four top Jewish moment of 2021?
Rob, no.
What was number one? What was number one?
You know what? I stopped reading after myself.
Okay.
I was like, oh,
it might have been when you knocked the bug off.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But it was, I forget. It was some, I don't know. I stopped because I got so excited. I was reading from 50, 49, 40. I mean, where am I? And I got to four. And then I tweeted it because I was so excited to be, you know, that's fun.
We should look this up. We should all Google it again.
Yeah. You can find it on my, like, on my Twitter somewhere if you go into my Twitter. But, it's a big deal. And it was
top 50 Jewish pop culture moments.
Pop culture.
Look
at you. Did they give you anything besides the recognition? Of course.
Recognition.
Hey, I'll take that. That's great. It.
Yeah.
But although, the sash would be nice. Yeah, maybe a tiara. Something.
A little Jewish crown.
Yeah. Although, ooh. Tiffany, that the photo that they use on HeyAlma.com, that the closed captioning of Baruch Hashem, we're eating. It's everybody's butts. That's where the closed captioning is over. Yeah.
You know why? Because it's me. Because I can never have like a full moment. It has to be like, couldn't they put the pretty one of me in my red dress that I put on Twitter? And I was like, but no, you know why? Because I said it as my back was turned.
Right.
And I was getting rice. It was at that moment that it was said. So they're just like, you know, paying homage to them at the exact moment. But yeah, that was not ever on my radar. I literally don't even remember saying it. It's part of my vernacular. I speak with, you know, words like that all the time. I speak Yiddish all the time. Like, I throw Yiddish funny words in all the time just because they're funny. And it's very much part of my culture and, you know, how I, my house, like how I grew up. So it was just very natural. And it broke the internet. There was like some sort of like crash of something. It was crazy. It's crazy.
You and Kim Kardashian, you're like besties now.
Yeah, it was like, I was like Kim Kardashian. It was like me and then like, I forget who it was, somebody else. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. I was like, that is not what I thought I was going to be notorious on Survivor for, but I will
You were trending.
It.
You were definitely trending.
I was trending. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would have been better if I was trending because I was, you know, the queen. The
winner, but, right. Yeah. Right.
But, you know, listen, look, you don't want to give it all away.
Yeah, Tiffany.
Rob, I'm not giving it all away. You don't give it all away in the first season. All right. Yeah. You got to like, let the fans want
to roll it a little bit.
It's like a date. Oh, it's like a guy. You want to
leave them wanting.
Right. You don't just go out there and win. Mm-hmm.
Right. You gotta, we want Tiffany to come back.
We want. Like, you right. know. Mm-hmm. So, I set it up that way. So, of course, you know, if you're going to get voted out, go be the mayor.
It's perfect.
What a ride. You the mayor of Ponderosa. You got paid for the finale and didn't even have to leave the house a second time. You got the number four Jewish pop culture moment of 2021.
There's more.
Yes?
There's more.
There's more.
There's more. I got one of the best Ponderosa videos ever to be made.
Yes.
That is
Mine is pretty awesome, I will say.
Okay. Well, we're one person.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, so that's fair.
Right. We're equal. That was. I'm just telling you what they told me. This is just what I'm hearing. Hold on. There is one more.
You got to make faces at Xander.
Oh, the rolling eyes. Dalton Ross said, I might have replaced Eliza Orleans.
Oh.
That's a big one. Because she
I think he said in one of the articles that I have replaced.
Wow.
Uh-oh. That could be a fight.
She's not going to like that.
No, she's not going to want to give that title up.
Listen, she can have it. She can keep it. I have the balance beam. We'll always have the balance beam. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have the Beatle.
Pop culture, number four.
Pop culture, Beatle, balance beam, Baruch Hashem.
Those are all your hashtags.
I mean, headless.
You're forgetting the best one.
What is it?
Oh, my move.
Well, the move is great, but what's the other word you came up with? Come on.
Purgatory.
Machete. Yeah.
Machete.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Machete.
Machete at it.
Yeah. The machete at it. I mean, listen, there was much more out there that we'll talk it. That's a different podcast.
Okay.
I love this. Part two, Rob. Part two.
Yeah, that's what she does. She always leaves them wanting more.
Right. Exactly. Well,
you know, there was something called Water Talk out there. Water Talk with Tiffany. I did my own podcast at Yasa. Yes. It was Water Talk with Tiffany, and it was like the Long Island, like Xander would do the Long Island woman, like, good morning, what are you doing at Yasa today? And I was like, Water Talk with Tiffany, because everybody made fun of Tiffany, because I would say, where's my water bottle? Because I'm from Long Island, so actually Queens, and I didn't say water bottle, I said water bottle. So everyone laughed at me, but why do they give you water bottles that literally look like the land that you're on, so you can never find them?
You can never find them, yeah.
So I lost it every 30 seconds, and every 2 seconds, I'm like, where's my water bottle? I'm hot as hell. Where's my water bottle? It's so freaking hot here. I was dying of heat constantly and needing my water bottle. So it became Water Talk with Tiffany. But they never aired it, but they did air my band, so, you know, I can't.
You gotta take what you
can
get, right?
You know,
David. Did you have any other strategy questions for Tiffany that don't specifically involve the vote? Okay. Vote?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I don't know. I think we've covered most of them. I mean, the hard part, of course, was at the merge when you got the hand.
I got the hand.
Before that, it seemed like you were, you know, doing well and you had plans, and then it just blew up, and
it did.
You know, so there's not a whole lot you can do about that, other than, like you said, you know, go back in time and see how it runs out the next time.
Or if it's you, you would say not vote for Jay out.
That's what I meant by going back in time.
Right. Vote Jay.
Back in time. So I think that's a song. Mm-hmm.
He's very loyal. You know what? I'm going to think about keeping you on my track.
Oh, okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good.
Listen, you called it the women's
alliance, but it was also the Jewish alliance.
It was. And we did say it at the water thing. We called ourselves the tribe within the tribe. Mm-hmm. And that didn't air either. It's probably a little bit like contentious, maybe. I don't know. But
one more thing to give credit for.
I mean, listen, there's so many more. I found a tangerine, but there was a lot going on.
Tangerine?
It was a tangerine in the wild. Found it.
Wow.
To share.
But no sweet potato.
Right.
Not a single one. But I found the one tangerine.
Tiffany, what's coming up for you post-Survivor?
Oh, God.
Cameo?
Well, huh?
Cameo?
I'm on Cameo. I'm doing Cameo now. I'm working on those.
I think you do one hell of a cameo.
I do one hell of a cameo. I'm a cameo amazement. Mm-hmm. Cameo's never seen anything like it. Listen, I do them, and the worst thing is when you do one and then you mess it up because you feel so stupid saying the same things in a different way all over again. But I pretty much do, you know, it's one take. But I'm doing cameo for years and years and years and years podcasting. Everyone's like, you need to do a podcast. You need to do. Really, it was more like you need to have a camera and walk around and people just want to see my life all day long, you know, what I do, because ridiculous shit happens to me all day long, but like really ridiculous things. You know, my store, my little jewelry thing, you know.
What's the jewelry thing?
Well, I had my own boutique online. I always have. I used to have a brick and mortar, but now I have, I have Reese's Pieces online, which once pandemic hit, it was very difficult to get my clothing from LA and everywhere. So I kind of stopped that. It was too much work I couldn't get anything in and out at the same time. And it was a nightmare. So I had to close that down for a little while. And now I just reopened, the Tiffany Seeley Survivor Collection. And it's, each piece is a name of one of our players from 41. And, you can read a little blurb about everybody. And so that was launched yesterday. Okay. So that's there. That's under Shopify. So it's, you know, on my Instagram. And so I'm doing that and maybe a podcast. I don't know. I have to figure it out. Whatever. You never know with me. You never know.
That's
with me.
What they say about podcasts of that, you know, that there's, you know, not enough podcasts, Tiffany.
There are so many podcasts, but I could talk all day long and just talk about nothing. And people listen. I don't know why. Sometimes I go on live and they just sit there and listen to me for hours saying nothing. It's amazing.
But clearly saying something.
Something's exciting. But who knows? I don't know. Listen, every day is an adventure. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Who knows what's going to come tomorrow, but whatever it is, I'm ready for it. You know, in 24 hours, call me. Mm-hmm. I'm there. As long as there's no balance beam, I'm there.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Just FYI. Note to self.
Jessica, I know you wanted to talk about your shirt that you're wearing today.
Yes, if I could, very quickly. So this shirt, I'll stand up very quickly so you can see. So this t-shirt ended hunger for one person.
That's great, yeah.
Isn't that cute? And
so
then,
cute.
I can't really turn around, but the back is designed as well. So my daughter actually designed this shirt. She is going to Hartford in Connecticut, and one of her professors is... has asked her to join this project with him and his son who created the Levo project. And just to let you know what Levo is, it's a food security organization that is dedicated to helping feed communities through a plant growing technique called simplified hydroponics. So this shirt you can purchase for $99, and you might think, oh my word, $99 is very expensive for a t-shirt. However, this shirt will actually feed one person using a hydroponic system permanently. So if you buy one shirt, the t-shirt equals ending hunger for one person. Literally, that's what it does. So I bought one, my husband bought one, and I do think that everyone should have an opportunity to end hunger for at least one person for only $99. It seems like a pretty great deal. So I will be tweeting the link. So if anyone is interested in going out and supporting this cause, I'm very proud of my daughter for becoming part of this. And I think it's a great thing to develop, and they are across the nation, across the world. This is happening. So that's what that is.
Amazing.
That's a great cause that, you know, the survivor production, they ended hunger for the survivors with the pizza party.
That's right.
This is so much better to it's a person's life.
Yes.
Yeah. And they probably would look much better eating, mm-hmm. not on national television, mm-hmm. for 6 million people to see when you've already eaten and you're not hungry.
Yeah, don't eat pizza in that white shirt, though.
No, this, I will say, it was a little dangerous eating dinner. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but it's cute, too. It looks cute.
It's very cute. My daughter is very creative.
Look, I know. She really is. It's really great.
I really want to be able to turn around. I'm going to screw everything up. I almost spilled my wine.
Oh, my God.
White shirt.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what she designed. Very sweet.
Okay. Amazing. Love it.
Tiffany, any final thoughts for us?
Oh, God. Final.
Rob, I think you should say this. It will never be a final thought to Tiffany. It will be, how do we end this discussion?
Right.
And it's a part two later.
Mm-hmm. Part two.
To be continued.
Yeah, to be continued. Final thoughts are, the game is, if you're not winning, it's getting everybody. And I think that people have said it, but when you've lived it and you see it, right? This game, no matter, even the winner sits there going, did I do everything in the right way? Did I win the right way? Like, there is, it's no matter what, you're never going to be 100% satisfied. So if you're okay with not being 100% satisfied, even if you win, then this is a game for you, because that's how it feels. Even to the winner, there are winners that leave saying, do I have to justify my win? Like, hell no, you don't. You just won $1 million. Like, no. You don't need to justify it. But I get it. You know, I get that, the thought process. So it'll get into your head. It's a game that really, I mean, I watched it as a casual fan. But being in it like that, it's surreal. And it's plays on every emotion and sense that you have. And it's just something that, to test your own self, I never really thought it was going to be as hard as it was. Mm-hmm. It was super, super difficult. And at the same time, so much fun. And it's just a weird thing. I loved every minute of it. I wouldn't trade any of it, except for maybe the balance game and winning. And of course the voce vote, because what would I be without saying that? But yeah, you know, definitely, you know, you always want redemption, but mm-hmm. that's part of it, right?
Well, Tiffany, I'm so appreciative that you made time to talk with us. You're so much fun to talk to, but you know this, right?
Oh yeah,
you've heard this before. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's listen, I'm only as fun as the people that are around me, right? Mm-hmm. So y'all three are great, and I love listening to all of your podcasts, and it's been really fun. It's been a great ride, and I love that, you know, I'm part of this bigger community. You guys are really what brings all of it to discussion. You know, people watch, but this is the discussion that everybody mm-hmm. really wants to hear. It's almost like the behind the scenes without the behind the scenes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So I'm thankful for being on here with the three of you, and I appreciate it.
All right. Well, Tiffany, thank you so much. David, what's coming up for you?
We'll probably be interviewing Voce.
That is so wrong. Rob, when he's done with his interview with Voce, we're going to re-interview Tiffany.
Yeah. I love this.
We'll just keep going back and forth.
This would be
point,
so
counterpoint.
Fun.
Oh. Yeah, mm-hmm. we'll turn it into the whole off season. It'll just be interviews.
Tiffany and Voce, like who said what?
Yeah. And then we'll see. We haven't set any firm plans for the off season yet. So okay. We will see.
Well, it'll be a short off season because Survivor 42 is right around the corner. It's not with mm-hmm. the rest of Survivor 41.
As far as we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as we know. Tiffany, do you watch any of the other CBS reality shows, The Amazing Race or Big Brother?
Yeah.
Yes.
Religiously. Yes. Okay.
Amazing Race is coming back in January.
I know. Right, I know. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Yeah. I love all of the Big Brother. You know, I loved in the past. I watched it this season, but I was a little less invested only because of Survivor. Like, I was so like wrapped up in the Survivor world, you know, that I watched it, of course, but it wasn't the same experience. It was just all so different. I'm actually really looking forward to watching Survivor 42, not being in it, but also having been there. It's going to be really interesting to see what they did with it. I have a feeling it's going to be great. Okay. So looking forward.
And Jessica, what's coming up for you?
Well, I guess it all depends on David Bloomberg, because he needs to tell me what we're recording and who we're interviewing next. And then
How many podcasts you want to do with Voce?
Yeah,
right, exactly. So I'm in full support of the David Bloomberg schedule, as long as it fits in with my work schedule, which is insane. But I think overall, I'm very happy that the season is now done, because I do think it's kind of like that moment everyone can breathe. As Tiffany said, you can kind of appreciate it, revisit it, talk it through, and really kind of understand what transpired. Mm-hmm. It's a new era of Survivor, we're still learning this new era, so it's good to have conversations like this. And I am interested to see what's going to happen in 42, because there was a lot of things in 41 I didn't love. I don't think they changed it for 42, so we'll be revisiting, and I will be reliving some horrible moments that I've experienced in 41, not as much as Tiffany did, but so I will be definitely podcasting, but it will be incumbent upon a few people, David Bloomberg, Rob Cesternino, and everyone else who works with our house to make sure that this happens. So,
you're waiting to see if you got renewed?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Are we going to be okay? Are we coming back?
I can officially announce here tonight that we are picking up Jessica Lewis's option for season 42 of Survivor.
Wait a minute, just Jessica's? Just Jessica's.
So let's see if David doesn't lose his mind talking to Voce and then spin off the David and Voce Why David Bloomberg is Right podcast.
Or just call it like Voce's voice. Mm-hmm. David, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
You've been officially renewed, David. Aren't you excited?
Right. Yes.
Love it. Love it.
We have a lot of great stuff coming up in the next week. We're going to have a best of. It's not the top pop culture Jewish moments of the year, but we'll do our best of RHAP coming up this week. We'll have Amazing Race previews as well to get ready for the Amazing Race coming up and much more. So make sure you don't miss anything. Subscribe to Rob's podcast, robswebsite.com/subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. Tiffany, thank you for making time for us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Bye.